If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
In our efforts to maintain the largest or number one audience for our advertisers, who depend on us to tell their messages to the largest possible number of persons, we make every effort to please most of the people most of the time. We will always make every effort to bring you the best radio it is possible for us to produce.
You liar!
F me, F me, F me! F me, F me, F me!
Generous slices of juicy beef.
The booty, the booty. Lisa Mane's got booty. The booty, the booty. Lisa Mane's got booty.
Well, now, hold on. Not every man likes a big beaver.
This is so exciting. I wish I cared.
I promise you, and this comes from years of experience, women are never right.
You're a doo-doo head.
Look, first of all, if I can speak in my own defense, all I did was tell a little joke. Second of all, women are not people. They are devices built by the Lord Jesus Christ for our entertainment.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And now...
If you could give me a pearl necklace tonight, I really need one.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, man, if I had a dollar for every time I heard that,
you know? Who doesn't need one, by the way?
Oh, man.
I hear you. Ladies love it.
I'd be rich, you know? Wow. A lot of times heard that.
Sure.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31. It's Thursday, the 14th of Poon.
Hello, Poon.
Welcome to the show, Lisa. How you doing?
I'm good.
Bean?
I'm in pain.
Uh-oh.
What's wrong with you?
What happened?
Hurting bad. Well, you know what it's like, Mike. You certainly can identify with this. You know when you... What? What are you laughing at?
You're going to talk about how much you were working out.
I'm talking about how much exercise I got. Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
I knew it.
And you know what it's like when you overdo it.
Sure.
I mean, you know, you push... Well, a specimen like me, you know, you think you can do anything. You think you can push it to the limit and that it'll never come back and hurt you. You know, I'm such a finely tuned instrument that
right.
I figure I can play all day, play all night. You know
sure,
what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
That's
so
what you
I'm
do.
That's Bean right there.
I'm just dying. My back hurts. I got some sort of a Charlie horse thing in the back of my leg that hurts. It just hurts to walk. My feet hurt. My arms.
It's about
everything.
Time. Let me just say this. It's about
just
time.
Dying.
For a guy who goes against all popular consensus when it comes to eating and exercise and everything else. He keeps going to the doctor. The doctor says, your resting heart rate is like one of an athlete. And
I know.
You're
it's
in
ridiculous.
Great shape. It's about time it came back to bite you in the ass.
Well, I overdid it. It was my own fault. You know, I thought I could do too much.
How much weight? How many reps?
Well, it wasn't, I mean,
it wasn't
I wasn't
that.
Working out. Of
you
course
weren't.
I wasn't working out. No.
How many miles?
I didn't technically run or anything like that, but I vacuumed the living room yesterday and I'm just dying.
God.
I'm on the floor. I almost couldn't work today. I mean, I picked that vacuum cleaner up and then I plugged it in and then I moved it around the carpet and it's just like, oh, will it ever end? Could this stop now? So I can't do anything now. I'm done for, well, certainly for June, possibly for most of July. I know. I think I'm on the disabled list, guys.
Oh, I hate to see that.
Especially, you know the kind of exercise I get, man. I'm like veal. You know that. I mean, I just stay in my tiny little pen and just I don't need to move more than a few feet here, a few feet there for everything I need. It's all
like
at my fingertips.
Veal don't vacuum. That's their
and
thing.
This is why. This
sit,
is what he's pointing out.
They can just sit
That's
there
right.
in their little cage. They don't have to vacuum.
Exactly.
So
well, I shouldn't have. I blew it. I made a big mistake. So.
I know we all think Bean is kidding, but I have seen him in the hospital by putting on his pants. I have seen that.
Yeah.
We were at the Super Bowl in Florida, and he was putting on his pants and got hurt. And
I shouldn't have tried to wear pants that day. That was too much for me that day.
Well, I hope you just rest for several days now. Don't move.
I need to.
I'm sure
Guys,
that's the answer. Move less.
It was difficult, man.
He's going to be frozen one day.
But when you're Bean, how do you move less?
I don't know. That's the
I mean, when you need to take it easy, when you get to a point in your week or month when you need to really take it easy and kind of rebuild, what do you do if you're not doing
You
anything?
Get one of those rascals and you just ride everywhere.
That's a good idea. It's a good idea.
Well, I'm shocked.
It is hard for me to do less. That's true.
I'm shocked at how little Bean does in a day as far as like physical activity because he has farm animals. And I know firsthand that that takes a certain amount of work. I mean, it's hard work to, like, clean and move cows and feed them and take care of goats or whatever the hell he has up there.
He's got a manservant, dude.
Yeah, that guy must work his ass off.
Yeah. He's probably got more
he
than one. We just don't know.
85 pounds, that guy.
Bean can see his cattle from his window. That's all he needs.
goes out, maybe pets
need to
him
actually go out.
Oh, no, petting well, would involve raising his arm.
Okay, so we don't do that.
More injury.
I used to joke that Christopher Reeve got more exercise than I did, and it was actually true because they used to take him out of the chair, remember, and put him on that treadmill, and
it's
then have somebody come
true
in and lift his legs.
It's true to this day.
Stephen Hawking would serve you in a push-up contest.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
Any kind of contest.
I wanted you guys to know I was going to try not to complain, but I wanted you guys to know I am playing hurt, so it is a miracle that I'm here. I may not be able to talk much today because that's a lot of effort, but
because talking is hard.
Well, you got to move your neck and your throat.
Stephen Hawking could even serve you in talking.
He could serve me in tennis, man. Are you kidding me? Hey, why is Psycho Mike working today? Today's fag day. Aren't you off, dude?
What?
What are you talking
about? What are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry. I read that wrong. It's flag day. It's flag day. I'm sorry. I read that wrong. I apologize.
Now it makes sense he's here.
Good on you. That was pretty good.
Otherwise, it wouldn't. Mike looked at me like, what?
Should have known I couldn't count on this crowd to recognize that it was flag day
God,
and save
no
the bit. But
dude, I don't know who you could have counted on for that, but you're right. We are the wrong people.
Exactly. Everyone who's listening is the wrong people.
If you were
you kidding me?
If you were hoping for me to say, wait a minute, Bean, it's not fag day, it's flag day. Got the wrong guy, unfortunately. Not that I don't celebrate, don't get me wrong. I have all
certainly
the parties
sure
and whatnot.
Flags.
Sure. Whatever you do on this day. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
We are going to talk to a couple of people who created a new website that you might want to use in the near future. Especially if you're going out on dates or just anybody that you either want to impress and or interrupt. One or the other. And you go to this website, popularitydialer.com, and you can put in your phone number and the time you want them to call you. And then you'll receive a call from them, either springing you from a horrible date, or you can say, okay, sell, and hang up. And then you can have them call you 10 times in a row and make
sure
it look like you're important. Whatever you need, they're there for you. What's great
is that's smart.
It's great because the phone does more than ring. It actually has a recorded voice on the other end that gives that half of the conversation. So if somebody happens to be close enough to the phone, they can actually hear there is somebody there. You're not just faking it. You didn't just hit a button and have your phone ring, and now you've got to make up a conversation. You actually talk back to the recording.
How about that?
That's pretty smart.
That's pretty smart.
It's clever.
So we're going to talk to them today on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're also going to talk to people who started their own porn companies. Because it seems like, especially in the last like 5 years, video camcorders have come down so much in price. And editing, you can do it on your computer, the whole thing.
That's true.
It's almost doesn't cost anything.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are getting into their own porn businesses, and they're making a ton of dough.
Hey, if you're a hot chick, you can buy a webcam for $60 and build yourself an empire. I mean, that's it. That's all that's needed anymore. I mean, it's unbelievable. The explosion of amateur porn in this country is, well, it's really causing decline in sales from the, you know, from the majors, from the big companies. But it seems to be a limitless amount of money. It's like they keep building all those new casinos in Las Vegas, and then you think they'll never stop.
Right.
That's what it's like with this amateur porn. Doesn't matter how many sites there are online, there's always room for a million more.
Webcam in a rack. That's all you need. That isn't America great?
Yes.
Webcam in a rack.
That's it.
We're going to be speaking with Lisa's self-defense partner who owns...
His company's called Mean Bitches Productions.
Is this a specialty line?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is. I think he has several websites.
And we're going to talk to Hush Hush Productions, the creators of Blackzilla.
All right.
Blackzilla. That's a good series.
That's coming up. By the way, we were all fighting over the T-shirt yesterday. Dude,
oh,
Blackzilla,
really?
I so want that. No, I want that. You got it, didn't you? You took
it. No, I didn't take it. I would have, but it was like an extra large or something.
Fantastic. That's right. I forget. You have to wear shirts that are smaller so you feel good about yourself.
I'm not a big man.
So anyway, that's coming up this morning. Also, we have to tell you about Celebrity Fit Club and the most hateable man in America.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
Screech really needs to die. All right. You know how we say we don't want our government taking prisoners and dumping them off in countries where they torture, you know, to get information out of them or whatever. So because then we're complicit and the blah, 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 blah. With Screech, that's what you want.
So we should have Black Ops kidnap him and take him to Syria or something.
And you want him in Syria and you want waterboarding at the very least.
Can Screech be declared an enemy combatant? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. That would be fantastic.
And held for years without an attorney?
In Guantanamo Bay. Just put him there and face him towards the east when he wants to pray or whatever it is they do. So anyway, we're going to talk about that this morning. We got the gay bomb. I'm sure you've heard about this.
Yeah. Yes.
This is our government, which has done some research. And this this topic has come back up several times as people discover it. But they really were in. They spent millions of dollars, from what I understand, trying to develop a bomb they could drop on the enemy, which would then make all of the enemy super sexually excited about their own, you know,
about
partners.
Other guys.
Yeah, other guys. So they would drop their weapons and make love, not war.
This is maybe the best government program I've heard since the plan to send exploding cigars to Fidel Castro. Remember, that was an actual plan where they were going to try to blow up Castro with exploding cigars.
I didn't know that.
Well, it's good that there are minds in the government that are thinking outside the box, but I don't know that the gay bomb has much potential.
The gay bomb, by the way, we're not making it up. You can look this up.
No, it's for real.
Type in gay bomb. You'll find plenty on it. Yep. It's fantastic.
They're also playing Inland Invasion,
yes,
too,
they
by
are.
The way.
They're good.
The gay bomb is the ultimate of – you guys probably run into this a lot. I mean, working at the show, you off the air, you'll talk to people, hey, what's going to be on the show tomorrow or what did you talk about today? This is the ultimate example of having to go, no, seriously, this is a real story. I'm not kidding around.
It's not a funny Ralph voice that we're just making up, right?
Oh, my God. It's fantastic. Also, Ricky Carmichael today, as the X Games are heading our way.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's that time again.
Excited about that. Tickets go on sale. We'll talk to him about all that information. We have Jane Velez-Mitchell coming into our studio. She's written a book called Secrets Can Be Murder. And she's a reporter that has seen a lot of bad. Mm.
Yeah, well, she's been on the news here in Los Angeles forever and covers all of these trials and has written a really exhaustive study of how these people try to get away with it and where they go wrong. It's actually pretty fascinating.
They don't all go wrong.
No, they don't.
No, that's true. Plus, that's a good point, Lisa.
Plus, we're going to talk to Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa. We're going to talk at least about him. I don't know if you've seen this story, but he actually separated from his wife, and his wife is staying in the Getty House.
Yeah,
which is the city housing for our mayor, and he moved out. That's funny.
It is funny. And according to Doc yesterday, he might be out for the rest of his term.
That's hilarious.
I mean, that's his...
I know.
I know it's not fair. I do understand why it's usually done that way.
But it is connected to his job.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it would be like the president, separating from Laura, and she gets the White House. That just... It doesn't make any sense.
I wonder if she would.
You'd say, you know, in this particular case, I'm really sorry. I know it's unfair, but we didn't elect you.
Yeah.
So you got to move on.
That's crazy.
But anyway, we'll get to that. Plus, don't forget K-Rock's Road Trip USA, stop number 2, Project Revolution, Linkin Park in Virginia Beach. Of course, Linkin Park is playing with My Chemical Romance, Taking Back Sunday, and more. July 28th at the Hyundai Pavilion. You'll win those tickets as a way of qualifying. You'll also qualify for the drawing for the 2007 Chevy HHR and free gas for a year. Mm-hmm. So that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. The Showbiz Beat is now.
Ralph Garman is on vacation this week. We are continuing to keep his chair warm with the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. You know, I know some of you hate it, but most of you love it. A lot of Paris news today. A lot of Paris updates today.
Oh,
I don't know if
yeah.
you've been following, but it's happening. They moved her again last night under cover of night. 11 o'clock last night, they moved her from the Twin Towers, where she'd been staying in the medical facility, back to the Lynwood facility. And we don't know why or where in there or how they're going to deal with this tragic medical condition that she apparently has.
Well, apparently it cleared up, my friends.
Were we told that she was going to spend her entire time there?
Yes,
That's
we were.
That's what we understood.
Wow. Yes, we were. So I don't know what that means or what's going on. Maybe our little pal Harvey Levin might know later.
Yeah.
But
it's a lot less cushy, though, than where she was. I know that much.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's right. And a lot tougher access to the phone and things like that, right? Some of those kind of perks are kind of taken away a little bit. So that's Paris 1. Paris number 2, and this is great. You know, we've all been talking so much about the medical condition and what the medicine is that she's on and what's that all about. And we heard that she was on the psychotropic drugs and stuff like that. Well, gossip columnist Janet Charlton says the reason that Paris is on ADD medication, Adderall, is not because she has the ADD. It's that she and other Hollywood stars have been taking the pill because the side effects make you lose weight, ladies and gentlemen.
What?
There was
using
an article
it as a diet pill
in Vanity Fair about that.
Yeah,
it may be 8 months ago, and this is when all these Hollywood stars are getting super skinny really fast.
Right,
and it's sort of like this underground thing that's been going on.
Maybe that's why they sent her back. Maybe they said, "Wait a minute, you don't have."
It's highly addictive too.
It's just for losing weight. That's why you're on it.
This is not a side effect. This is one of the major effects. It increases what helps you sharpen your focus is the fact that it increases metabolic rate. It's essentially a stimulant
and kills your appetite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
about that.
This is interesting because in the gossip column, again, from Janet Charlton, she says that for every $10,000 handbag you see on the arm of a skinny celebrity, you'll find Adderall and cigarettes, and that's part of the key to how they stay so slender. Paris, by the way, apparently has lost 5 pounds since she's been in jail already in the last week or so.
Thank God.
Friends say she's still crying, but less. She's still depressed. She's not eating or sleeping much. And final Paris note, comic book legend Stan Lee, creator of Spider-Man and so many more comics.
Mm-hmm.
He's not that kind of Stan Lee.
Oh, sorry.
Is apparently developing an animated series for MTV that he's gonna create that will be drawn about Paris Hilton. He's in fact his office is confirmed it is happening. You remember he did a Pam Anderson cartoon a few years ago for MTV called Stripperella.
Right.
That's
apparently
right.
Apparently he's got one planned for Paris Hilton too. So there's three tidbits about Miss Hilton today.
And the name of the show is
Whore.
And by the way, I don't know if you were watching last night Jimmy Kimmel.
Uh-huh.
But I was very, very impressed by the fact that even though Paris is in jail, she's already, you know how she said, I'm going to turn my life around. This is a second.
Yes.
This is a warning for me.
Yes.
I'm getting a second chance. I'm not going to be as dumb as I was, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. I'm going to turn over a new card. Anyway, she apparently is already scheduling a charity benefit, or at least her people are. And I thought this was really cool. I saw the first commercial for it last night on Jimmy Kimmel.
I will have sex.
I'll have sex for MS.
Join Paris Hilton's first annual slut-a-thon to fight arterial sclerosis on August 8th. The money we raise will help address the challenges of every person whose life is affected by MS.
I will spread my legs like you used to kiss my when I was slender. Kiss the wall and you until there's nothing left for MS. That's hot.
Isn't that great? That's really great that she's going to give back.
Well, she did find God. That's fantastic.
Shar Jackson, according to The Sun, yesterday the report was she was having K-Fed's baby. She
yes.
was another baby. She was pregnant again by K-Fed, and this is going to be his fifth. Two with her, two with Brittany.
Mm-hmm.
And now this fifth. According to the Sun in England, she said, I didn't know I was pregnant until this morning when I watched it on the news. I want to thank the news for telling me what's going on in my uterus.
Oh, it's so not true.
It's not true, unfortunately, she says.
Unfortunately?
That's what she says.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's not true, by the way. But that's what she's saying.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Here's a great couple of great stories from TMZ.com, our entertainment site of record. Nobody really benefits when a famous person is busted for DUI unless, of course, you bet on them to get popped. Bodog.com, back in the news, they've got odds on the next celebrity likely to get a DUI because, you know, it has been the spring of DUIs, let's face it. Here are some of the odds on some of the celebrities. British pop star Lily Allen leads the field. She is at 4-1 right now.
Sure.
And that's not a surprise. I mean, she parties hard, this chick.
Yeah.
And by the way, doesn't she weigh like 90 pounds?
Yeah, she's tiny.
Yeah.
The way she drinks and smokes, she's already legendary in the short time she's been in business for canceling shows. I think she's canceled 80% of her shows that she's supposed to play in America so far because she's exhausted and or drunk. So she's number one, 4-1. Lindsay Lohan, second at 11-2. Of course, she's got to get out of rehab first before she can do that.
Before she gets another DUI?
Exactly. Brittany and Amy Winehouse are at 6-1. No surprise there.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And the Hoff is at 13-2.
Oh, wait, isn't your money on the Hoff?
Yeah, I think the Hoff
is. Yeah, I give.
Come on.
If you feel that way, he's the guy you ought to put some cash down on. Apparently,
you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Promise?
No.
Nope.
Yes.
Huh? I'll be fine.
Yeah. And there is one group bet you can make, and this is interesting. You can bet on the entire cast of Lost, which may be a good way to go because there's so many people. You don't have to count on one person. There could be 30 people that you have odds on.
But the whole cast doesn't have to get pulled over for DUI at the same time.
No, they don't.
Just one of them.
Now, this is 7-1 odds. However, the three that have already been busted for DUIs in the past 2 years, Michelle Rodriguez is one, Cynthia Watros is one, and the guy who plays Mr. Echo, whose name we can't say, those three have already been busted. But remember, none of them are on the show anymore. So you don't get the benefit of a repeat offender there because they're gone.
So they don't
current
count
cast
us.
Member okay. 7-1. They don't mm-hmm. count. Exactly. So I just, this is the trend in America that I like, by the way, is being able to bet on celebrities.
I love that,
their,
too. That's spectacular.
Their misfortune.
We may have to have our own pool.
It's a good idea.
Sure. Sounds like good times.
I also love this from TMZ.com. It's a new story about Matthew McConaughey, who is, what would you say he is most famous for, the terrific actor Matthew McConaughey?
His abs.
Yeah, taking off his shirt.
Taking off his shirt. I mean, this guy, in every movie, he takes off his shirt, and most of the time that you see pictures of him, like paparazzi shots, he's got his shirt off.
Absolutely.
He could be at a nice restaurant. He's sitting in there with his shirt off. He loves him.
Bean and I look like that. We just don't feel the need.
Yeah,
why take off our shirts and flaunt it in front of other people who aren't as lucky.
Guys, hi.
TMZ.com reports that he was filming a pool scene for his upcoming movie called Surfer Dude, and he told the ladies in the bikinis that were in the shot that if they wanted to take off their tops, they'd be rewarded monetarily. Basically, he said, hey, you know what? You're here anyway. You're an extra, but take off your top. We'll get a little more cash for you, right?
He's so mean.
So one thing led to another. Sources say he then encouraged some girl-on-girl action, turning the set basically into a porno. Just one extra walked off the set. Apparently, all the other girls that were there for the pool scene were fine with it. His representative was not happy with the story. And I guess the comedy is that, you know, the actors don't really decide who gets paid what. And the Screen Actors Guild may be involved in looking into the promise that you're going to get some more cash for taking off your top.
How funny.
Well, there's no way to track cash under the table, you know, on that day if he just walks over to his, you know, wallet and starts spreading it around.
Yeah, that's true. If he just starts, you know, peeling off 20s, right? But what's the point of being Matthew McConaughey if you're not being Matthew McConaughey? You know what
that's
I mean?
For sure. I agree.
I mean, you got it. Use it. Enjoy it. I had no interest in seeing a movie called Surfer Dude until now, but now I'm in.
Now you want to see the chicks who took off of their tops.
Exactly.
I don't know if you saw this or not. In Touch magazine is reporting that Fall Out Boy Pete Wentz and Ashley Simpson have been dating for 6 months, and Ashley is desperate to marry, according to In Touch. I want to take it to the next level. I need to marry me some Pete Wentz. That's what she's saying.
Well, marrying early went well for her sister.
It did, yes.
It's good that she learns from her.
And apparently her sister is trying to warn her off, and her mom is trying to warn her off, and as usual, nothing.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't bother her at all.
Hey, bud. I just got the new Fall Out Boy song on my VCast phone. It gets me pumped.
Oh, my God.
I don't think you want to marry Ashley, to tell you the truth.
Does Pete have anything to say?
Never.
Or is it just everybody else that decides this?
It's you. Yeah, that's true. It usually is everybody else talking, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I don't know. And by the way, that's...
Just wondering.
There's more... it's easier to find the video of Pete Wentz jumping off the stage and trying to attack a guy in the pit in I think it was Chicago. You just look up, you know, Pete Wentz or Fall Out Boy fight. YouTube or someplace
Excellent.
Like that. Yeah, it's great.
And finally, Psycho Mike, I don't know if this is good news or bad news for you, but you're the WWE resident expert on the show. But Ashley Massaro, let's talk about her for just a moment here.
All right.
She has, she's reportedly, you know, last week on the SmackDown, she was quote-unquote suspended. And it now was revealed that the reason she's an unbelievably hot big boot blonde who wrestles.
Ridiculously hot.
Ridiculously hot. Apparently, she was written out of the WWE storylines because she is leaving the show to be a contestant on Survivor. That's where she's headed.
No kidding.
So, that's what she's going to be doing, which is good news. For those of us who don't watch wrestling, now we have the opportunity to see her. You know what I mean? But if I'd have known she was around until I saw these pictures in this news report, I may have been tuning in.
Knowing Vince McMahon... I could see this being a really like kind of a backdoor scheme to get his product on more networks.
Yeah,
you know?
I wouldn't doubt it. She was quoted as saying,
I like meat.
Hey, it's great publicity for people who've never seen her on the show before or know what wrestling is all about. To see her on Survivor, they may tune in for that. So that's maybe a good move. You're right. Today's celebrity birthdays, Yasmine Bleeth of Baywatch fame, 39. Is she the one, Lisa, who had all the drug problems and the worst mugshot and the whole deal?
I believe 100%. So, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love the blow.
Yes.
She was very, very pretty and then got used up real fast.
Yeah.
Very blowy.
She's awfully blowy. Tennis great Steffi Graf, 38 years old today. Donald Trump turns 61.
Oh, dear God.
Very sad to see him celebrating another birthday. But the reason we all celebrate today, ladies and gentlemen, 46 years old today, music legend, Boy George.
That's right. That's right.
No, Kevin, that's George Michael. You always get those two confused. That's actually George Michael. We're looking for the Culture Club guy.
George Michael's that guy that does the sports talk show. What are you talking about?
Oh, dear God. That's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat. I love the fact that our pal Jane Velez-Mitchell, author, of course you know her as a TV anchor for many years in this town, has written a book. She's coming in. She once tried to put us behind bars, Kevin. You recall? She was leading the charge, man, out there to get Kevin Amin in jail, and now she's a guest on our show. How about that?
She had a long stick with a fire on the end of it, and she was chanting. I didn't know what was going on in Channel 9.
She did. She led the villagers out as a lynch mob. But Jane's going to be coming in later this hour. We're very excited about that. It's the Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock. That was Linkin Park. Stand by to win your tickets for Project Revolution with that band headlining. Of course, tickets go on sale Saturday at 10 for the local show, and everyone who wins is eligible for the grand prize drawing we do tomorrow to send you to see Project Revolution again, this time in Virginia Beach.
Our Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, just got a separation. I guess he announced it this past Saturday.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know this about him or not, but his last name is VR, and then he added Ragosa.
That was her last name, right?
Her last name, right? Yeah. So they get separated, and apparently she is staying in Getty House, which is, it's the place where, you know,
it's
we
like
pay.
The mayor's mansion.
It's the mayor's mansion, right?
Yeah.
So she's staying there, and he's moving out. And some people are saying he might not be in there for the rest of his term.
Well, I don't get that. That's public housing is what that is. That's a perk of the job. If you're the mayor, you live there.
I'm sure it's built to, you know, accommodate what he has to do as well.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's just,
yeah, with security and phones and things like that. Right.
Now he's got like an apartment someplace in North Hollywood.
Well, I think he moved back to the house he was living in before he was elected mayor. I think that's, but it seems to me, he and his wife have been together 20 years. It seems to me that house, if that house is available, maybe that's where the wife and kids should move back to, is their the family house.
Yeah, this just doesn't make any sense to us.
I don't know. Maybe she's pissed.
It's the same thing as President Bush. We've said this before. President Bush got separated from Laura. Laura doesn't get the White House.
No.
I understand why that happens most of the time, but in these particular few cases, you got to go, sorry. Sucks for you, but I get the White House. I get the Getty House. You don't.
Who got Gracie Mansion when Rudy Giuliani broke up with his wife, Lisa?
Well,
do you remember?
His wife refused to leave. He was out.
Yeah,
for a
I thought
while.
There was a standoff or something, right?
And then I thought he moved back in with his girlfriend, and she was still there. There was like, it was crazy what was going on with him.
Wow,
hey,
a guy that
could
pull that off, I'm going to vote for president.
Exactly. If he could arrange that kind of detente with a wife and a girlfriend, then he could handle China. All right.
Andy Dick is the only other person I know of that can do that.
That's true.
Exactly. Well, we asked producer Lightning to get us somebody on this story with the mayor, and imagine our surprise when he came back and told us that Mr. Villaraigosa would join us personally, and he is on the line right now on the Kevin Amin Show. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. I'm sorry, we were actually holding for the mayor. Could you put Mr. Villaraigosa on the phone, please?
I'm the mayor. I run this town. That's right.
Mayor Villaraigosa doesn't sound anything like this.
What are you talking about, man?
Well, we've seen him on the TV a lot in the last 2 years, and he just doesn't. You're not him.
Shut up, I'm thirsty. Hold on.
What are you drinking?
It's good, man.
What is it?
Hornitos, baby.
This is. Are you firing off guns?
I got pigeons in my front yard, man. My cousin's house living on the porch. You know what I say? My cousin Miklo in MacArthur Park. You know.
So it's that's where.
Yeah, that's where you moved. You're living on the porch now.
Yeah, my cousin Miklo say, "Hey, you can crash here, Vato." I'm like, "All right."
Okay.
Little pigeon, you wanna mess with me, pigeon?
How long do you think your ex is going to be able to live in the mayor's mansion?
Forget that puta. I don't care. I leave it forever.
Wow.
I leave it forever if I want to, okay?
This is okay. Karina, though. This is your wife of 20 years, the woman you've had children with, you know?
Oh, I mean, she think I'm a monkey or something, man? I don't care. I take her around, man. Hey, I know people. I'm the mayor. I'm the mayor. I run this town, okay?
You don't sound...
Hey!
I sound more like the mayor than you do.
You shut up, Wero. I come over there and show you who's boss, huh? You think I'm a monkey? You think I'm a cockroach? Huh?
No,
we're not saying that at all.
We know that.
I'm the mayor, baby.
Have you been drinking all night?
Oh, I've been drinking all night, all day.
All right.
Hey, man.
Mr. Mayor.
It's been a long night. I need a little pick-me-up. Hold on.
Oh, no.
It's the Scanta, baby. My cousin's got the best.
Okay, listen. Mr. Mayor.
Fly away.
All right, listen. Stop shooting. Stop shooting at the pigeons. Just put the gun down and just listen to what we're talking about for a minute here.
My wife's a bitch, man.
I would like to plead for her now to take you back because...
You shut up.
Seriously. She was a good influence.
All right, listen, Mr. Mayor, there's one other thing we wanted to talk to you
about.
We haven't mentioned this yet, but these tattoos that you have all over your arms or had all over your arms?
That's right, man.
You had Born to Raise Hell,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know, you had spider webs, you had all kinds
That's
of stuff
right.
on your
my
arms.
Elbow, I got spider web,
uh-huh.
and a different ring of the spider web is every bottle I took out. You know what I'm saying? You get in my face.
Well, I don't think that's true. No, I think you're just, you did not kill anyone. I think you just did them for decoration because you, you know, that's what your friends did when you were coming up in the mean streets of L.A.
On my knuckles, I got thug life.
No.
My knuckles right here.
No.
Let me just roll up my sleeve real quick. Got some teardrops.
You have teardrops on your arm?
Yeah. Oh, it's a big teardrop.
They don't go on your arm.
I don't know. I got an anchor. Let's see.
An anchor? Okay.
I got a Fall Out Boy tattoo. I don't even know where that
Wait
came from.
Wait a minute.
I don't
Hold
know
on.
Where that came from. I don't know. It's drinking, man.
You got a Fall Out Boy.
Right here. Look at on my shoulder. I got my mom
uh-huh.
in her quinceanera dress with a Raiders helmet.
That must be very attractive.
Beautiful. Right here on my... Let's see on my right shoulder here.
Uh-huh.
I got a scorpion
okay.
with a machete.
Okay.
And he's cutting off a San Francisco Giant head with a machete.
Wow.
That's a tough guy, man. Let's see here, man. On my face right here, I got a little boy in a wheelchair.
You don't
he's getting eaten by Satan.
You don't have a tattoo on your face,
yeah,
Mr.
Yeah,
Mayor?
Do, man.
Do we have the right guy, B?
Hey,
doesn't sound anything like the mayor I've seen on TV, no. Yeah.
On my back, I got a big eagle.
An eagle.
He's drinking Budweiser.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a picture of me, but I'm like an Aztec coming out of a river
right.
with like a big sword. And my ex-wife has bullets on her chichis, and she's below me. And it's very pretty. And like on my mini truck, my first car, it's on there. So.
Are you going to have your ex-wife lasered off of your back?
Very soon, man. I gotta get rid of that puta.
Okay.
Maybe you can just shoot it off. Maybe that's the answer for you, Mayor.
Hey, that might be a good idea.
That's not a good idea. Mr. Mayor, that's no.
I take a bullet.
Kevin and Bean, this email begins. This song is a lot better if you change the word Delilah to vagina.
Okay. Oh, that's a good point.
So we'll try that. That
works for most every song, doesn't it?
That's a good tip.
6:22 on the Kevin and Bean Show. We don't often get the luxury of a guest in the 6 o'clock hour, but she's hardworking and she's up early. And here she is, ladies and gentlemen, the author of the new book called Secrets Can Be Murder, What America's Most Sensational Crimes Tell Us About Ourselves, Jane Velez Mitchell, in the studio here.
Woo! I'm so happy to be here. I listen to you guys. And, of course, I called you during the Jackson trial during some of the height of the madness.
When Michael Jackson was nutty and dancing on top of his SUV. That was good. Times. I miss
now,
that.
Jane, people would recognize your face. Certainly, you were on local news in this town for 15 years or something like that. But mm-hmm. you don't do that anymore. You just kind of do fill-in spots on TV now. Is that right?
Yeah. What happened was that my good friend Harvey Levin, who now runs TMZ and has got all the celebrities
yes.
running for cover,
yeah.
He called me while I was working over at Channel 2, actually. And he said, hey, I'm doing this new show called Celebrity Justice, and I'd love to have you as a reporter. And everybody was like, you're crazy. That show's going to last 5 minutes and go off the air. There's not enough celebrity news.
Right.
To fill a half hour every day. Well, guess what? We were on the air for 3 years, and it was one of the craziest, most fun, bizarre times of my life.
Let me ask you, since you brought up the celebrities, because these days, especially this week, it's been in the news a lot because of Dan Rather's complaints about what's going on with the CBS TV news. Does it surprise you to see how much celebrity news is the real news now? When you tune into a local newscast, it's half Phil Spector, Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, more than it is anything else that should be interesting to us.
Yeah, and when one news organization points the finger at the tabloids, the hysterical part is that the major cable networks are doing the exact same programming.
Yeah, they are.
And you can't tell the difference between what's on a major cable news network and the National Enquirer.
Yeah.
And sometimes
like
they're taking the stories from the National
Enquirer.
That's
what I was going to say. They just rip them from there. They don't check them. They don't do anything. They just
run
them.
I remember a time before the real news started running with National Enquirer stories that we would read something in the National Enquirer and go, well, we need to kind of search around and find
right.
any other source for that anywhere because it was just not enough.
Right.
Now it's plenty.
Well, it also turned out they were right a lot.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Got some
you
good
know, that
stuff.
Is true. So your book, Secrets Can Be Murder, What America's Most Sensational Crimes Tell Us About Ourselves. I have to be honest. I don't know how you don't get depressed. Because
I'm very depressed right now.
Well, no,
but
I'm
it's
saying
just because I woke up early, not because
you read
cases.
Through the book and you go, wow, you're talking about this person killing their family and that person killing their kids. It's just like, oh, man.
You know what's so horrific and so astounding is that most of these really awful criminals that do unimaginable things will tell you that that they have no idea how their lives ended up this way. And they never thought of themselves as the kind of person who could do something like this. And that tells me even somebody as horrific as John Cooey, the convicted sex offender who was smoking crack when he abducted little Jessica Lunsford, a 9-year-old girl, raped her and buried her alive. There's no worse, but one of the worst, certainly. And he says, I have no idea I could ever end up being this kind of person. And what that tells me is that these criminals are flying blind. They have absolutely no self-awareness. 95% of their motivations are unconscious motivations that stem back from childhood traumas, family traumas, toxic secrets like drug addiction, sexual compulsion, inappropriate sexual compulsion. And they're so unself-aware that they have no idea what's driving them. And they're kind of the extreme example of what's happening to a lot of people in America.
But does that scare you? Because that means anybody
could, capable,
yeah,
exactly, like
over the edge at any time.
Premise,
and we just don't
book.
Know that that's us.
The whole premise of your book is that somebody in this room is going to be a killer.
Percentage-wise, yeah.
Right?
Well, we know it's Doc.
Well,
actually,
yeah,
it's
true.
The whole premise of my book is that everybody has secrets. Everybody in this room, including myself. We all have things that we would prefer the rest of the world not find out about us. That is an essential part of the human condition.
What are yours?
I was going to ask. Just one.
Start peeling out the cash.
No. You know what? I've worked a lot on my secrets. Like, I talk all the time about how I'm a recovering alcoholic with 12 years of sobriety. There are many things that the thing about secrets, and part of the message of my book, is own your secret. Whatever it is, the shameful, embarrassing piece of unfinished business that you're carrying around with you like a concealed weapon, face it, own it, get the help you need for it, embrace it, and then it loses its power. Yeah. But what happens is, if you are so shame-based and you're holding the secret and keeping it down, I don't care whether it's infidelity or illegitimacy or whatever, and it becomes increasingly toxic, because secrets will come out unless they're covered up. The way you cover them up is by lies. Then you have to make more lies to cover those lies, and soon you have a completely inauthentic, toxic secret world, this phony facade that you present to the world, and then the rest of the world. And in fact, with some of these horrific cases, the more perfect they appear on the outside, the messier and more toxic their secrets are behind the scenes.
Right.
But some of the people that you write about, and if you're just joining us, Jane Velez Mitchell is in the studio talking about the Secrets Can Be Murdered book, and you can meet her and have it signed tonight at Book Soup in West Hollywood at 7. But some of the people in your book, like Scott Peterson, for instance, an example you write about, he just killed his wife because he had a girlfriend, right, and just wanted to get rid of her. I mean, that wasn't as a result of some sort of childhood trauma or anything like that. He just looked at an easy solution out of his problem, right?
Fast.
Really?
There are sometimes many layers of secrets. And frankly, some of the worst secrets and the most toxic secrets are the ones we don't even admit to ourselves. I mean, you could say
and
that.
He had some of that?
Yeah. I mean, okay. Yeah. His obvious secret is that he was cheating on his pregnant wife, and his girlfriend, Amber Fry, didn't know that he was married. And the obvious trigger for the killing is that Amber's best friend finds out he's married, confronts him, and then he says, well, I was married, but my wife's gone. And 2 weeks later, she is gone. He kills her with the unborn child. But the backstory is that many years before Scott was born, his mother gave away 2 children for adoption at birth, and those children grew up to become adults and then enter the family and meet Scott Peterson right before he and Lacey get married. And so he had initially said that he wanted children.
And he didn't know they existed?
Well, all the reports that I've read, and I certainly couldn't know for sure, I'm not sitting there in the Peterson home, but all the reports I've read, and Ann Byrd, the secret sibling, says that her understanding was that when he met her, it was a first time, certainly it was a first time they ever met face to face, and that her understanding was that he didn't know about her existence.
But what does that have for him him trying to get out of his thing with his girlfriend?
Exactly. So he obviously that's. Getting rid of your children in one sense. You give them away. What did he do? He got rid of his unborn child through a different matter, through the act of murder. There is a part of this whole theme is that we act out the secrets. We act out the toxic secrets through murder. And so sometimes we inherit secrets from our parents. And for example, abuse, we pass it down generation to generation. So sometimes to get out the truth, they will commit a murder to act out the secret. And in fact, where he dumped the bodies was San Francisco Bay. And where does one of his secret siblings live, Ann Byrd? On San Francisco Bay. And she said to me, I've often wondered whether he was sending me a message by dumping the bodies in my own backyard.
He didn't know it, unconsciously.
Oh, yeah. He had no idea of any of this. All he knew was he suddenly didn't want to have children. And he told Lacey that. And they ended up having a child anyway. And I don't know if he verbally agreed. But obviously, the whole issue of children is much too emotionally loaded for him after he finds out he has secret siblings.
And by the way, one of the fascinating things in Jane's book is, and I had not heard this before, is that he has become kind of romantic pen pals with one of the jurors that convicted him, right?
Strawberry Shortcake.
Oh, there was, dear God.
What's wrong?
They're exchanging love letters from jail. Dear.
She convicted him? She said guilty. Now, can I write you?
Well,
let's squeeze in one call before we move on. Rob in Covina. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
You're
good. What's up?
Yeah, I have a question. I'm just wondering what she thinks about all these movies that are becoming more and more violent, if they're having any effect on the behavior of society.
You mean like Hostel 2 that came out this past weekend?
That Kevin
saw? Yes, there's just a slew of very, very graphic and violent movies, and I think it's just desensitizing our children.
You've investigated a lot of killers. You think there's anything to what they see in the media that turns them into that a little bit, Jane?
Absolutely. I'm so glad that gentleman called. This is one of the themes of my book, is that America has its own societal secrets, and one of it is that we are addicted to violence, and we are actually training a new generation of teenage boys to be turned on by sexually charged, sadistic violence against women. We are creating a hunter-prey relationship between men and women. You know, back in the Victorian era, a man could be turned on, sexually aroused by the sight of a woman's ankle.
Because they never saw him.
And because they never saw him, and also it was the condition. We are aroused by what we're conditioned to be aroused by society, by media images. Today, we are conditioning teenage boys to be sexually aroused by sadistic, graphic violence against women. Let's face it, the vast majority of violence in this country is committed by men.
Right.
And if you turn the tables for one day, imagine the outrage. If you turn on the local news, even for a week, and all the perpetrators being walked around in handcuffs for rape and pillage and murder and abduction and everything else were women, this country would be in an uproar. All of us women, Lisa, would be on Prozac and thrown in the clinker. But we accept male violence as business as usual. And my message to women is, A, do not subsidize the violence against you. Do not go to these movies. And B, to everybody in society, let's stop associating masculinity with aggressive behavior, particularly against women.
We don't have time to get into this in detail, but I'd like to suggest that there's a major majority of people who can separate the two.
Yes.
The movie violence, right. And you can go, okay, it's movie violence.
I'm not worried about you.
No, but
Kevin,
I'm saying there's
I'm
a major.
Not about the
I'm
movie
saying there,
reviewer.
But
I'm
there is
about,
a major majority, I would say, of even teenagers that can say, "Oh, that's movie violence."
But
okay,
it's
that's
the emotionally
different.
Stunted teen who is troubled and on the edge, and who has got a secret fantasy life that's so real that sometimes they can't distinguish between their secret life and the real world seems less real than their secret toxic world. Those are the ones we have to worry about, and for those teenagers, this kind of inundation of sexually graphic violence can put them over the edge.
What happened to the good old days when just regular porn was enough? I mean, why does it have to be? Why does it have to be ugly? All right, we have to take a break, but we do have another segment with Jane Velez Mitchell. She's in our studio now. She'll be at Book Soup tonight at 7 in West Hollywood. The book is called "Secrets Can Be Murder: What America's Most Sensational Crimes Tell Us About Ourselves," and it's available everywhere online or in regular bookstores. And we'll talk about some of the other cases that you describe in the book. And also, if you don't mind, if people have specific questions for you, maybe about some of the famous cases of the last 25 years, it'd be all right if they call.
Of course, I love it.
All right.
We'll do that next. Jane Velez Mitchell is in our studios. The book is Secrets Can Be Murder, What America's Most Sensational Crimes Tell Us About Ourselves. And she's going to do a signing tonight at Book Soup at 8818 Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood. Some of the stories that you deal with involve the teachers that have sex with the kids.
Oh, yeah. That's fascinating.
And I don't know if you're a South Park fan or not, but I have a little clip from South Park that I think speaks to this very well.
I attend South Park Elementary, and one of the teachers is having sex with a student.
Oh my God! This is terrible. You did the right thing telling the police, Brad. Now, who is the teacher? What's his name?
Well, it isn't a guy teacher. It's a woman.
A woman?
Yeah, she's having sex with a boy.
Oh, but she's ugly, right?
Well, no, not really. It's the kindergarten teacher, Miss Stevenson.
The blonde?
Yeah.
Some young boy is having sex with Miss Stevenson?
Yes.
Nice. Has she performed oral sex on him?
I think so.
Nice.
Okay, so anyway,
what is that all about, Jade? How does that happen so often? And why are some of those teachers so hot to do it?
Deborah LaFave is the hottest, I think.
Yeah, and you know, not all the teachers who have sex with boys are hot.
Nope.
It's so funny that the media just focuses,
yes,
what a coincidence, on the really gorgeous ones. There have been some really horrific cases, and when you look at the mugshots, and I looked at some, why didn't the media focus it on this? And you see sort of a chubby woman with glasses. And
I think you know the answer to that.
Yeah, exactly. But Deborah LaFave is a fascinating case. And I don't think anybody ever does this without having some childhood traumas. First of all, her sister was killed in a car accident, and that was a huge trauma for her. So
she was young.
No, it was actually, I believe in early 2000, oh, okay. 2001 is when it happened. So she was suffering from that. That kind of was a destabilizing fact. But here's an interesting fact that the mainstream media, for some reason, decided not to cover, even though they could talk about woman-boy sex in the back of an SUV driving around. They found it.
That's right.
According to some too tabloidy to discuss the fact that a girl in high school said she had a romantic relationship with Deborah LaFave, and they were romantically linked, and the school knew about it, and Deborah LaFave's mom broke it up and put her in another school. And her husband, Owen LaFave, who wasn't dating her in high school but went to the same high school, talks about it in his book and says that after the mom broke the girl who was a tomboy and Deborah up, Deborah slashed her wrists in sort of a cry for help. Now, isn't it interesting that if this is true, and this girl actually went on television with a local TV reporter down in Florida and spoke about it on camera, and I say romantic because, you know, I don't know. Right. I wasn't in the bedroom, but I don't know. The romantic relationship, she says they were in love. And isn't it interesting that Deborah LaFave, who may have had this romantic relationship that was prematurely ended with a tomboy, ends up sleeping with a boy? Do you see the connection?
Yes.
Yeah. What's the closest thing that you can do and still please mom to have sex with somebody with the opposite sex?
I don't know that it's boy.
Well,
still please mom.
Well, what I'm saying
it's
is,
male.
It's like it's male. She's trying to somehow work her secret issues in with what is being demanded of her.
But I've read your book, so I know you're not suggesting that that she should be forgiven for that. That should get her off the hook or that she shouldn't be responsible for it in any way.
No.
But that may explain why it happened.
Right.
No, my point is that what we do is we catch people, we punish them, we throw them in the clinker or, in her case, in house arrest.
She was too hot to go to jail. Remember that?
Remember, too pretty for prison.
Too pretty for prison.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yes, that was something.
Yeah, that was she was doing the precursor to the Paris Hilton, too rich and too thin for prison.
Paris wishes those days were still here.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, I mean, my point is, we don't really understand the why. So we catch people, we put them in jail, or we do whatever we do. We scream and yell at them and say they're awful. And then the next person comes along and does something even worse. Why can't we as a society evolve beyond crime and punishment and get to the root of some of these problems? I have a radical solution. I believe that there should be group therapy in the schools from early on. You have boys who are bullying people in the schoolyard, and it's probably because their dad's an alcoholic beating up on mom, and if they said anything at the home, they'd be smashed against the wall. So they come into the schoolyard, they beat kids up, and then one of those kids goes home and grabs a gun, the great equalizer, and comes back. You have all this horror, and it's all because nobody's talking about their feelings and how they feel about things that are happening to them. So we teach kids reading, writing, arithmetic. At least we're supposed to teach them that. But we don't even think about teaching them how to become self-aware. Now, all the kids in Pacific Palisades whose parents are movie directors have shrinks. The ones who don't need it, they've got all the money and everything in the world.
Right.
They've got their little Mercedes when they're 12. But
They get Mercedes when they're 12?
I may be exaggerating.
What a surprise, by the way, that Jade thinks that talking about your feelings is the answer. What a woman.
Well, let me tell you something. I think if we had more matriarchal values in our society, and this is my idea for my next book, is, and I don't know if I'll be able to write it, but I would like to write a book about how we have to start bringing matriarchal values into our world, because we have this patriarchal attitude of man versus nature. Okay, we're destroying the environment. Guess what? Man versus nature. Nature's over. We've got to work together with nature.
Right.
We've got a warlike mentality, and we are housing now in our criminal justice system more prisoners than any place in the world. We have more people locked up. And for what? We know people who are on the trajectory for crime since they're kids because of where they grew up, their ethnic background, their racial background, their economic status, their educational status. For example, we had taken all the money we'd spent on the war in Iraq and put it into education in some of the worst schools. We could very well churn out a generation of kids instead of going into crime. We would have other options.
Well, so, I'll tell you what you're talking about with the schools certainly would have prevented something like the Virginia Tech massacre. I mean, if anybody had taken the time to talk to that dude about his problems, it would have certainly been avoided, don't you think?
I think if they had caught it early, this kid was alienated from the time he came from, I believe it was Korea, and the parents were having trouble with him.
He was extraordinarily shy. And culturally, I heard that, you know, they have problems sometimes going to psychiatrists. So that's what I'm saying. It's not just that culture. It's the Christian fundamentalist culture that doesn't believe in psychiatry. There's a lot of people who don't believe in getting help. They believe that emotional problems are a judgment, either by God, or it's a character defect, or it's a sin,
or you're just being weak.
Yeah, yeah. Weak. Snap out of it. Yeah. Get over it. That's our culture. And yeah, we've got to realize it doesn't work that way. You don't snap out of psychosis.
Unfortunately, we are running really short on time, but I did want to mention quickly a guy who I know nothing about, but he seems nuttier than anyone in the world, and that is Phil Spector. I guess he was a huge music producer in the 60s?
Yes, 70s. Yes.
I don't know a thing about him, but I've seen the hair, the afro that's like 3 feet off his head. He's the guy that shot a woman in the mouth, right?
Well, he's accused of that, and he's on trial right now, and he actually fell asleep during testimony this week.
How do you think that trial is going? Because I know they're getting bogged down now.
When the medical examiner is on the stand for 5 full days,
it seems to me... That's never a good sign, I don't
think. It's got to kill the jury. The jury must be miserable in there.
It's so brutal to be in these cases when they get into this minutia, and of course, it's always with the high-profile cases. Let's face it. He was accused of killing her more than 4 years ago. He has never spent a night in jail, and his trial is just now getting into full swing. Imagine a poor defendant. Do you think that would ever be the case?
No,
of course not. So we do have a two-tiered system of justice in this country, and we got to look at it. I think Paris Hilton, that whole thing, has brought focus on this real horrible inequity.
Jane, in our remaining moments, and then we'll give you the information about the book signing and everything if you want to go out and meet Jane and talk some more about this. But in our remaining moments, are celebrities ever going to be convicted of anything in this town? I mean, you look at the OJ, you look at the Robert Blake, you look at the Michael Jackson, now probably Phil Spector. I mean, what's up with that? I mean, you talk about two-tiered justice, famous enough money for a good lawyer, you walk.
Well, first of all, they get a dream team of incredible lawyers. If I'm in trouble, I'm calling Tom Mesereau. I'm going to keep his cell phone in my wallet because he was brilliant. It's like having one of the founding fathers defend you. Yeah. I mean, that's really what he was like. And so they have these brilliant lawyers who can raise reasonable doubt about anything. Will the sun come up tomorrow? Who knows? Yeah. I don't know.
Is the jury system broken? Is that part of the problem, is that you're relying on just people to render these verdicts?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, especially with celebrity cases, psychologically, people want to be associated with celebrities. So when you're a juror, suddenly it's almost like you're pals, because they're treated, jurors in celebrity trials are treated like celebrities themselves. They're whisted and whisked out, and they kind of get the sense that maybe they're friends with a celebrity, and wow, they want to help this guy out, because if they help him out and acquit him, maybe they're buddies. In fact, some of the jurors in the Michael Jackson case went to a party after the acquittal.
Yes,
but then,
right.
You know, of course, the fog wears off, and they realize that the celebrity really doesn't care a whit about them and has waltzed away. And that's when they wake up out of their fog and say, maybe I think he was guilty.
Yeah, a lot of them have come around and said stuff like,
2 days later,
I made a mistake.
Well,
it's a fascinating book, and we've just scratched the surface of all the various cases, including a bunch of them that I had never even heard about that you write about in the book. But let me give the info again. If you want to meet Jane Velez Mitchell, that is going to be tonight at Book Soup, 8818 Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood, right across from where the old Tower Records used to be. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. Secrets Can Be Murder, What America's Most Sensational Crimes Tell Us About Ourselves, is available in bookstores and online everywhere. Jane, terrific of you to come in. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Ralph's on vacation. We'll take a look at the showbiz beat. Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie were in New York City last night at the premiere of her new film, A Mighty Heart. But they're not going to have a lot of interviews because they don't like a lot of personal questions, the two of them.
Right.
I don't blame them. The way they get hounded, I'd be press shy, too, at this point.
Fox 411 gossip reporter Roger Friedman said that before she agreed to any interviews, she forced reporters to promise to not, you know, ask any personal questions.
Yeah.
And some of the reporters pulled out and said, okay, then forget it. And then she just canceled the rest.
Oh, no kidding.
She's like, all right, we'll just forget it then. Let's not do that. So that's what they're trying to do. As a matter of fact, she asked Paramount Pictures, according to him, to ban Fox News and Fox News affiliates from being on the red carpet at the premiere.
Wow.
So maybe they've said things about her that she doesn't like. But
interesting.
It's tough to get
that
an
movie.
With her.
That movie looks like it might be good. If you haven't heard about it, she plays the widow of Daniel Pearl, the journalist who was killed overseas. And apparently she's very good friends with the widow. And it was her choice to, you know, a lot of women would say, yeah, if you're going to make a movie about me, get Angelina Jolie to play me. And this one actually was able to do it. So I look forward to that. Jennifer Aniston, rumors are, is going to be adopting. You know, she can't keep a man. There's something wrong with her. But she has gone to the same adoption agency that her friend Sheryl Crow got Wyatt from.
An insider of the agency says the process is 100% underway. And I'd just like to say, on behalf of Ralph Garman, who's not here today and can't make the point, she's the kind of woman that's so hot she should adopt. I mean, this is the right decision to make.
You don't screw with Jennifer Aniston's body. You know what I'm saying?
Well, she's already got the banana boobs, so you don't want to like further destroy.
Oh,
they're bad.
Come on.
Come on.
Tell me about this, Kevin, since you're the rehab expert on the program. A week, a month, it doesn't matter, right? I mean, they're all about the same, right? If you go in, just stay as long as you feel it's necessary, right?
Yeah, that's what they tell you. You sign a thing that says if you feel like going home in a day, go ahead.
Okay,
it'll be
good.
Fine.
Well, that would explain Richie Sambora, the guitarist for the Bon Jovi band. Apparently, he was at the UCLA Medical Center in rehab there, was supposed to stay for 30 days. He was in about a week, and his people say he continues to, quote, receive outside support. He, of course, has had a very difficult year. His dad died of lung cancer recently, got that divorce from Heather Locklear. Then he split up with Denise Richards. I got to think that some of it has to do with Bon Jovi. He's got a new record coming out, and he wants to play with the band on the Today Show next week, and they got a bunch of other performances lined up, and... You know, it just seems like I don't want to be here, so I'll leave, is the answer to celebrity rehab.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
That is true.
A week. I mean, that'll stick, right?
You know what it is? I think a lot of people who end up there think, I'm still okay. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I can deal with this now. I'm cool. I didn't really need to
they
do
have
this.
Short memories.
I'm going back out. I don't know if you saw this, but Paul McCartney had a top secret gig last night in Manhattan's Lower West Side, and apparently all the celebs were there, including Whoopi Goldberg. By the way, if Whoopi Goldberg is at a concert, that's a concert I don't want to be at, I'm pretty sure. Elijah Wood, little Steven Van Zandt, Steve Buscemi, Aidan Quinn, a whole bunch of different celebrities so that he could play this crappy song.
Everybody gonna dance tonight. Everybody gonna feel all right. Everybody gonna dance around tonight.
Come on.
Yeah.
Everybody gonna dance around.
Okay, got it.
Everybody gonna hit the ground. Everybody gonna dance around tonight.
Now, one more note. Paul McCartney got his highest chart debut in more than a decade yesterday. His new album, I guess Tuesday, Memory Almost Full, is at number 3 on the Billboard Magazine pop charts.
What?
And he's getting good reviews. It's frightening.
And just missed the number 1 spot. It was not very far away.
Wow.
Yeah, it's songwriting.
I haven't heard the album.
It's songwriting for children.
Yeah.
It's something that should be on, Sesame Street or PBS or something.
Sounds like a Raffy cut is what it sounds like. I haven't heard the album. That song's all I've heard, but it does not, if that's the, usually they lead with something strong to get people interested in the record. If that's what they got, it does make me concerned about it. They shot the wrong Beatle. That's all I'm saying. Hey, finally, and I don't know why this surprises me because, Tiger Woods, he's a legend and he's great, great, great at one thing. But he doesn't strike me as a fun guy. He seems kind of glum to me. Do you guys get the impression that Tiger Woods is a party or no?
No, not at all. No, he's square as hell.
Yeah, he seems like a focus man.
I guess if you were to have like a competition, like you get to go hang out and have some drinks with a person, from the standpoint of what he's accomplished, that's amazing.
Right.
Sure.
But from the standpoint of on your party list, he's not at the top.
No. Yeah, you'd go, if you're going to go with a golfer, you go with John Daly or somebody who really knows how to party, right? No, Tiger Woods. Well, anyway, London Metro is the newspaper, and former European Tour pro and Ryder Cup star Dave Fearty, I don't know him, but he is a golfer who knows Tiger well, plays with Tiger well, has revealed... And I guess he's on a golf show now. He has revealed that he and Tiger would often hold farting contests on the golf course.
No.
Farting contest, yes. And that Tiger Woods, is just as competitive in farting as he is in golfing. And that he just hated to lose. And that was something that he doesn't allow him to lose a thing, even our juvenile contest, he says. So Tiger's like the last person in the world I can see him walking up on the 17th hole getting ready to try to win, win a title or something. And, he's like, hey, Dave, how about that one? Good times. I don't know why. There's something wrong with that story.
There is.
Today's celebrity birthdays. How about the Trumpster? How about Donald Trump, 61 years old today? You talk about Phil Spector's hair. What's going on with the dot here? I don't know. Per Jessel from Roxette, ladies and gentlemen, celebrating a birthday today.
What?
Whatever happened to Roxette? Come on.
Roxette?
They got the look, Kevin.
That's
they got the look.
Right. I totally forgot about that band.
Tennis great Steffi Graf is 38. Of course, Yasmin Bleeth, formerly Baywatch, 39 years old today. And, of course, the reason we all celebrate today, it ought to be a national holiday. And it is interesting that it is Fag Day, and it would also be his birthday today.
Oh! It's Flag Day.
Oh, is it Flag Day?
It's Flag Day.
I'm sorry, I read that wrong.
Yeah. But
turning 46 today, ladies and gentlemen, from Culture Club, Boy George. Has a birthday today.
Nope.
Actually, no. That's George Michael. Kevin? Wrong George. Wrong George. That's George Michael, actually. Oh, dear God. It's okay. KRQ FM, passing Los Angeles, and that is the K-Rock Show Biz Beat.
I'm Cole, and I'm a barista for Starbucks.
We have only thrown, I think, two people out of our studios in the time we've been doing this show, and one of them is Screech.
Yes.
Was the other one your Scientology pal?
Yeah, the guy that wouldn't shut up. He wouldn't let anyone talk.
Yeah.
Right. He wouldn't let anyone talk. Listeners, us, nobody. But Screech was a guy who was just entertaining himself, and he was making little noises. And I mean, he was
didn't
just...
he bring in a friend with him? And
first,
he was basically
threw...
talking to him.
Yes, first we threw the friend out.
Yeah,
and then we just talked to Screech, and then we threw Screech out because he was just as bad. I mean, he was just—he's such a pain in the ass.
Now we've had him on a couple times since then. One other time in the studio where it went okay, and then the last time we had him on was when he had that bogus T-shirt scam, right, where he claimed he was losing his house and he was trying to sell T-shirts to save his, you know, save his place to live and stuff. And then we kind of found out that maybe that was a scam. So. Yeah. I don't trust the dude. I don't know that he's necessarily level.
Really? So he's on Celebrity Fit Club, and it doesn't matter who else is on because, seriously, he's the biggest a-hole in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past on this show, he has been super abrasive. I mean, he gets in people's faces. He threatens them in a fight.
He gains weight.
There's a Marine. Yeah, he gains weight. They weigh people. This particular show, they have two teams, and both of the teams stay on the whole show, and they compete. So if you don't lose weight, you let your team down.
Right.
It's a whole team effort. So he did gain like 6 or 7 pounds one time. And everybody was beside themselves. And Screech went crazy. He started threatening the guy that's the Marine drill instructor on the show. I'll take any fight anywhere. And, the drill instructor went crazy. So Screech misses some time. He doesn't show up. Just doesn't show up. But he shows up with a whole different attitude.
His teammates tried to make small talk.
Have you been dieting?
But they were unprepared for the new Zen Dustin.
Just eating and living.
Just eating and living.
Eating and living.
Right, okay. But you're on a weight loss show. You're on a TV show that the goal is to lose weight.
Right.
You agreed to be on the show.
Dustin, how does it feel to be back?
I'm ready. I'm ready to tackle this course.
I hope the time that you spent away from us that you at least kept up your cardio because you're going to need it today. Right, Harvey?
Percy, I don't think you deserve any more attention than a freaking cockroach.
That's the that's the Marine drill instructor. He doesn't like
him
much.
He's awesome.
He almost knocked the hell right out of him when he was threatening him.
Yeah.
So Screech starts talking to the EMTs about how, my legs, they're cramping and I feel bad. I'm lethargic. I'm weak. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do this. And they have a race where they have to run.
But halfway through his lap, Dustin threw in the towel.
Look, y'all missing it. Y'all missing it.
Hey, Ward, way to come back strong, Ward.
Dustin quit.
You gotta be s***ing me.
Dustin just quit.
I gave him half the course.
What's going on, man? Come on, man. You can't give up on the team now.
I was ready to stop it at the beginning, but I decided I would push as much energy as I could.
You knew you were gonna quit, man.
I'm not gonna risk my health to push it.
I'm not going to risk my health. How far are they making them run?
It doesn't matter. If it was 10 feet, he would have quit.
It sounds like he's unwrapping a candy bar.
He's such a douche. And the funny thing is you hear the camaraderie, the fun. The rest of the people are cheering for each other. They're totally getting into it emotionally in every other way. And yet he just is, oh, my God. You just want to punch him in the face for all different reasons this time.
He somehow thinks there is an I in team. I mean, that's his basic problem, is he's in it for Dustin. That's the only thing he's in it for, is not for everybody else.
Well, they give him workouts and he doesn't do them. Yeah. And then they give him diets and he doesn't do it.
Well, he doesn't want to risk his health, Kevin.
Because he's on a weight loss show. I don't know what part he's missing. So they go into the weigh-in. And if you remember, he was like 200 pounds and then he went up to 206.
Mm-hmm.
And his whole team was angry. And
200 pounds, you lost 5 pounds.
By the way, that's back down to what he was before he gained the 5 pounds.
Now you're just back where you started.
Yeah.
How does it feel?
I'm glad to be back down to 200.
And how did you get down to 200?
Here's my favorite part. This is a weight loss show. Training, exercise, eating good.
I've been taking Xantrex 3 the last, week.
Okay, so basically you're taking fat burner.
I guess, yeah.
It's an herbal fat burn.
I guess. He's essentially cheating then.
Yes!
Yes.
he's awesome.
So then they confront him and they say, look, you're not a team player. We've been talking to you for a long time. You've been not doing anything. What about that?
You've done all these weeks of what you want to do. But if you try what we want you to try, then give us an informed opinion and say, hey, guys, doesn't work. Or, hey, actually, it's not bad. What do you think?
I'll think about it.
No.
But I don't even understand the mindset of going on a show like this without thinking that you're going to follow through with what they're saying.
He just wants to be in front of cameras.
Or he wants the $500 or whatever they're giving him to be on the show. But do you guys think he is doing what we've, you know, famously suspected of people like Omarosa, of just being the personality on the show because that's how you become popular, is you be the one who stands out from everybody else?
I would say absolutely, but I don't think he's very smart.
No.
So I don't know if he's smart enough to pull that off. He may just be this big of a douche. But so then he tells them his new Zen view on life.
I think, you know, butting heads doesn't build, you know, bridges of friendship. And I chose a path, and I walked that path. And if I fall on my face at the end of it, then that's what happens. And if I don't and I succeed, then I should succeed at the end of that path the same as anyone else, even if I didn't follow the same path as everyone else.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right, Gandhi, go on.
So then they say, what is this new Screech? What? Tell us about your new Zen look on life.
All right, what did you do, travel to Mecca or something? What's all this I'm at peace attitude now?
The Marine drill sergeant might kill him by the end of the show. I'm not positive, but he might. And then they get into his schedule and clearing it out so that he could possibly do something.
I'm at a different place right now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What is that place?
Peace.
Peace.
Yeah. I read a lot of books.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You express interest about boot camp.
Yes.
Well, you want to make up for lost time?
I have to check with my schedule, but if it's open, I'll be there.
All right. Well, you got 2 weeks, Dustin. I mean...
Now, here's my favorite part. He has to check his schedule. He's Dustin Diamond.
What does he do, right?
He's Screech.
Unless there's a Saved by the Bell reunion movie that I don't know about, he's free.
He's got nothing.
I gave you the offer. I'm not going to play a game with you, and I'm not going to waste my time with you.
No, it's not, I just don't do my booking, so I have to. But if it's open.
Excuse me. You have such a busy schedule, and you're on a weight loss show, and maybe you can't work in a workout.
I'm not going to argue with you.
My bookings.
He has a booking agent. He has to check his schedule to see, by the way, just for a workout. It's not like a weekend trip or something. It's 2 hours.
Yeah, they're not asking you to commit to make a movie for 4 months in France, all right? They're just talking about an hour in the gym.
And meanwhile, all of his teammates, who he is helping to lose the entire competition, are looking at him. They're all going to lose it themselves.
Because I don't blame them. They're working hard.
They're working their asses off. And he just walks around, does what he wants to do, and I can't tell if he's playing a role. He was playing the abrasive guy before. Now he's coming back. He's playing the at-peace guy. I mean, I would think that was true if he had a brain in his head, but let's be honest, he doesn't. He's Screech.
Oh, we know he's an ass either way.
So that's our man Screech on Celebrity Fit Club.
Love it.
And that's on Sunday nights on VH1. And really, you shouldn't watch it if you have high blood pressure because it won't be.
You're not going to believe this story, but we didn't make it up. It's for real. This is from a CBS newscast off their website just this week.
The Pentagon confirmed to CBS 5 today military leaders once proposed building a so-called gay bomb, a chemical weapon that could be dropped on enemy troops to make them sexually irresistible to each other.
Weekly World News?
No.
Gay bomb, by the way, not the last 10 Rupert Everett movies. I mean, we're talking about an actual weapon in warfare that makes men attracted to each other. That's what we're talking about here. There's more.
Here's CBS 5 political editor Hank Plant. Hank?
Edward Hammond of Berkeley's Sunshine Project tracks military spending. He used the Freedom of Information Act to obtain this proposal from the Air Force's Wright Laboratory to build what's been called a gay bomb. The weapons proposal says one distasteful but completely non-lethal example would be strong aphrodisiacs, especially if the chemical also caused homosexual behavior.
I love this, by the way. It's non-lethal, but it's distasteful. Because you don't want men kissing on men.
The Ohio Air Force Lab proposed that a bomb be developed that contained a chemical
that would cause enemy soldiers to become gay and to, well, to have their units break down because all the soldiers became irresistibly attractive to one another.
I don't think we want their units breaking down. I do know that. That's bad for soldiers everywhere.
Here's the thing about this. I know that there's a lot of tension over the military these days.
Yeah.
But it's more from the people that are running the military than it is the actual, you know.
Absolutely.
I hope they're looking at every single non-lethal idea. I mean, anything you could imagine. But this kind of thing, you would think they would say, oh, that's ridiculous, and move on to anything. I mean, you would narrow down the list to stuff that might work.
Well, you heard this this guy found out because of the Freedom of Information Act. He was tracking military spending, and I think he found that they had apportioned like $7 million or something like this to develop this game.
$7.5 million. They drop it. The units of the other army, they would all just fall apart because they were in love with each other. Well, it's just the most absurd thing I've ever heard.
We need to find out more about this, and we asked producer Lightning to line us up somebody, and I guess we do have a doctor from the National Institute of Technological Services on the line who were one of the groups that was helping to develop the gay bomb. Is this a Dr. Chodler?
Hello? Oh, they're on the line. Bruce, turn down the music. Hello?
Oh, hello? No.
Hello?
Is this Dr. Jonathan Chodler?
It is. Good morning. How are you guys?
Well, we're good. We were calling to ask about this gay bomb that the Pentagon was trying to work on.
Oh, yes. We've been working on this for a while, and it's one of our products that we're very proud of over here at NUTS, the National Institute of Technological Services.
Oh, NUTS. I see. I got you. Now, is it? I mean, I understand, like Kevin said, yeah, you want to think of everything that's non-lethal that might help you in warfare, but is this even feasible? Is there such a thing as something that you can release into the air or get on a soldier's skin that would make them fall in love with a man?
Oh, yes. We've had lots of success with mists and pheromones that have been introduced into the environment and have had a profound effect on warfare. In fact, in World War II, I helped develop a micronized mist that we released over the nation of Japan after Pearl Harbor that made people drive horribly. And ever since then, they figured, wow, if you were just running into your friends in cars and stuff and making illegal U-turns with no blinker, who can fight a war?
Are we officially out?
Oh.
God damn, do I miss Ralph Garman. So this is something that is or is not going to be used, Dr. Chodler?
Unfortunately, the government doesn't see things my way. Just like my father, he just doesn't understand. Maybe I don't want to play sports like the rest of the boys. Maybe I don't want to go hunting and do things like you, Dad. But you know what I'm saying? Some people understand my lifestyle. Can't you see it
right now? Right, but see, here's...
Osama! Yes, Al-Zawahiri? Why don't you put down that gun and stop fighting this war and let's dance! Woo!
And you think that's what the gay bomb would do?
Who doesn't like dancing?
Yep, that sure is a gay bomb.
Over here at NUTS, we've been developing some other products. Would you like to hear about them?
No.
Oh.
But I think we should. Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, we've also developed a new shotgun for the United States military.
Okay.
It shoots sausages! Woo!
Hallelujah!
Sausage. Sausage.
Right, we got it. It shoots sausages.
You know, I'm not even going to wait for the strongly worded letters to come in from GLAAD. I'm going to sit down and write one. That's how offended I am.
How about my new grenade?
Your new grenade.
Oh, yes. It explodes cream.
Oh, woo! Dear God. Okay.
That's, listen.
Too sexy.
Woo! Oh, yeah.
Right. Lubin Chodler. Popper.
Right. I'm sorry. What did you say?
Lubin Popper.
That's what I was. I'm very excited that it's this time of year again.
Ricky Carmichael, like, no doubt right now is the best motocross rider out right now.
I hear you're going faster than ever outdoors.
I've got to be going faster than ever outdoors.
He's so scary, Ricky, that riders are like, I just go.
Carmichael goes outside, crosses back in with a great drive up the hill.
You know, I think the biggest thing for me is just no pressure. That's what makes your ride good.
Here he is, Ricky Carmichael. Carmichael again to take the lead.
I want some big voice guy calling me the greatest of all time.
I know.
And with that voice, too. The all-time winnings rider in motocross history, 15 AMA national championships, 144 career wins in supercross and motocross. He has never lost an outdoor championship. Ladies and gentlemen, it's X Games time, as Kevin mentioned. Please welcome Ricky Carmichael on the phone on the Kevin and Sean K-Rock. Hey, Ricky.
Hey, what up?
How you doing?
Dude, life is good, man. Just getting ready to come out your guys' way in another month and a half or so, get my first X Games appearance. Dude, I'm super pumped.
How is it possible you have never appeared at X Games before, Ricky?
Yeah, just because I've been, like, just so dedicated and focused towards the normal series of the racing that I've been doing my whole career. And now that I've taken a step back and kind of doing part-time, I've allowed myself to do the fun stuff like what's about to happen. And I am so pumped.
Well, we're going to talk a lot about the X Games and tell people about the ticket on sales and all that stuff, but I have to ask, why are you stepping aside now for your new love, which is cars? Why are you in semi-retirement now at the absolute height of your powers? That seems like an odd time to walk away.
I don't know. You know, it's everybody asked me that, and it's just, you know, it's tough, but man, I just feel like I've run my course, and I've been very, very lucky, and I'm very thankful for it. And I just, it's time, man. It's time. You got to throw in the towel, and if it's not now, it's got to be. It's got to be sometime. If not now, and I just feel like now is the time, and I got some great opportunities to obviously do stuff like X and car racing as well.
Getting into NASCAR, yeah. The X Games are so damn fun. I usually go either 3 or all 4 days.
Yeah.
It's so great. I think the first 2 days are at Staples Center, the second 2 days are at Home Depot Center. And it's Thursday, August 2nd through Sunday, August 5th. Again, at Home Depot Center and Staples Center. Tickets for this go on sale today at 10.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
morning at 10 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah. And they go fast. It sells out almost every year. It's just, it's such a great event, and they have 100 different events. They've got all the freestyles and all the big air, and the BMX bikes are now doing big air. It's just, it's a great time. Are you going to do anything besides the Moto X? Are you going to do Step Up or freestyle or anything else?
No, I'm not going to do any of that. I wanted to do Step Up, and then I hadn't really came to a conclusion on that. But no, as far as right now, I'm just doing Moto X. Super pumped that they allowed me to come into this and be a big part of it. And I think it's going to be really, really good. The discipline that is in it, the competitiveness that's going to be in it, it's going to be sick.
There must have been a lot of people along the way saying, hey, Ricky, what about the X Games? Hey, Ricky, what about the X Game? Hey, what about the X Game? Every single year. I mean, you've been doing this since, you know, mid-90s, right?
Yeah, yeah. 97 was my first professional year, and ever since X has been getting hot, you know, they're like, you're going to do X,
right.
You're going to do X, and then obviously when they started having the Supermoto, like, oh, are you going to do it now? And I'm just like, no, can't do it. And then now that this has come around, and Moto X has come around, and I'm only a part-timer now, it's like perfect timing, so it's going to be exciting. I think the fans are in for a good time.
This is Ricky Carmichael on the line. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the X Games tickets that go on sale this morning at 10 o'clock through Ticketmaster, also the box offices at Staples and Home Depot Center. We mention this every year, by the way, that you know, it's a different price depending on which events you go see, but a lot of the tickets for X Games are just $5, which is just so I mean, that's a cup of coffee these days. You know what I mean? That's what you for X Games. $5 up to $25 based on the event and the venue, and the website is expn.com. Ricky, what in your youth made you gravitate toward this sport of motocross? Did you just love riding a bike when you were 5 and then you said, I got to do something better, or what happened?
Yeah, pretty much. Dude, that was it. You know, I was playing Little League and all that stuff, and my father got me a motorcycle when I was 5 years old in 1985, and it was Valentine's Day, actually, so it's really easy to remember.
Valentine's
yeah,
Day?
Yeah, hey. Things.
Happy Valentine's Day, son. Here's a motorcycle. Go kill yourself.
Yeah, and I just took a liking to it, you know, started riding and then racing locally, regionally, and then dude, one thing led to another, and I just kind of took a shine to it, and then shoot, here I am, you know, 10 years of a great inspiring career, and then and look at the opportunities.
What is it?
Just very, very pumped about it.
What is it about you guys? Travis Pastrana's doing the rally racing, McGrath's doing off-road trucks, you're going into NASCAR. Is it too dangerous to stay in too long, or it's just you've done it and you want to move on to something else? Why is everyone ending up on four wheels instead of two?
Well, I think, you know, we're all racers at heart, and we're all competitors, and this great sport has given us a great opportunity. And, like, for me, I mean, to be honest with you, that's the only reason I got into car racing is because of the name that motocross has given me.
Right.
So, you know, I'm young, too. I'm only 27. But I just feel like I've run its course. And let me tell you, it will be nice to have a roll cage around me.
Sure.
I bet, yeah. What kind of motorcycle do you drive when you're not working, if you're just, you know, tooling around town or something like that?
I just have a Suzuki little street bike that I tool around on. I run some errands, you know, go to the chiropractor, doctors, stuff like that, you know, just real quick things. It's crazy. You got to be careful. You got to watch out for people on the road. I trust myself. I just don't trust the dude that's on his cell phone running his text message or something like
that's
that.
That's smart. That's Dave, the King of Mexico, who answers phones here. He's the guy.
He's always – what's the square dad mobile that when you take the kids out to the park, what do we see Ricky Carmichael driving if we caught you? Are you out there in some sort of an SUV or a Jeep or something?
Well, no, I'm not privileged enough to drive my kids yet. You know, my wife does all of that.
She doesn't trust you.
I'm ready to take on that responsibility.
How many?
Let her do it. She's got her little Mercedes SUV, you know, like a girl would, and that's a whole new deal.
How many speeding tickets have you gotten, Ricky?
Not too many. I'm actually, you know what, I shouldn't say not too many. I'm normally good for at least one a year.
One a year. Okay, that's not bad for a guy who races.
Not proud about.
Tell us about James Bubba Stewart. He's the next huge thing in motocross?
Yeah, he's the next thing. You know, it was McGrath, and it was me, and it was supposed to be Pastrana. And
right.
He got a little sidetracked there, and then now it's James, so... The sport is in his hands. It's interesting. I don't know how long he's going to be in it. Just the fact that he'll have some great opportunities to do other things. And then, like, you know, with this X Games stuff, you get it's so much fun, and it's you get so much out of it that it's almost better than racing the whole series.
Right. Well, yeah. I'll tell you, the X Games, again, I go every year, and it's so fun to see. You'll sit there through a lot of different events, and you'll see a lot of the rehearsing. You'll see a lot of the practice runs for the guys, you know, and then you'll see another event. You'll see the, you know, when you go to Staples Center, for example, you'll see a lot of the skateboarding stuff, the vert stuff, and you get to watch them practice, and then you get to watch a final, and then some more practicing and another final.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you just watch it all day
long.
That's what I'm pumped about. I mean, I know I'm going there to compete, and I'm super pumped about that. But at the same time, dude, I am really, really excited about just watching the whole deal because I've never been. So I'm going to be there all the time myself.
Oh, you'll love it.
And obviously, we're pumped about racing.
What's great, Ricky, for the fans, too, and we bring this point up every year, is not only is it an all-day thing, not only do you really get a lot of bang for your buck, but almost every year at X Games, somebody tries something that's never been tried before. So you're actually there in the room to see history be made. That's number one. And number two is your sport, almost more than, except for maybe car racing, you guys are so close to the fans in terms of, I mean, every single athlete there, it seems like, is going to have a ton of interaction with the people, with signing autographs and stuff like that. I mean, you guys are really good about giving back to the people that support your sport.
Absolutely. You know, our sport is so fan-driven, and we are so accessible to the fans compared to any other sport. And I think that's
absolutely
one thing that is special about what we do, and that's why the fans like to come, and that's why they should come out to X. And like you said, it is X Games, so, and it's only once a year. That's why people save everything to do it, try something that has never been tried, because it's so huge, and it's a special event. I know that in Moto X, I mean, guys are going to be hanging it out just to get a medal. So I'm going to be on my game, dude. I'm going to be practicing hard, and I got to jump on it. I don't know how many times I'm going to have a chance to get that X gold or a medal at that. So I'm going to be turning it loose.
Thursday, August 2nd through Sunday, August 5th, Home Depot Center and Staples Center. It will be airing on ESPN and ABC again this year. Tickets are on sale today at 10 through Ticketmaster, box offices of Staples and Home Depot Center. $5 to $25 based on event, and then you go to expn.com. Ricky Carmichael, pleasure to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Thank you for your time.
Hey, thanks. It's been a pleasure. Listen to you guys when I'm in California. And
thank you, man.
We'll see you at X.
Thank you. Best of luck.
We may need to get our pal Harvey Levin back on the line. Maybe we can catch up with him tomorrow in the week that was Paris. A lot of new Paris Hilton news. It's been kind of quiet for a couple of days, and if anyone knows what the deal is, it's Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. But she was transferred last night on the cover of darkness, 11 o'clock last night. She was returned to the Century Regional Detention Center in Lynnwood. This is where she originally reported for jail, served a couple of days, and they sent her home. Then remember, she came back to court, and then they sent her to jail again, this time to the Twin Towers in the medical ward. Now she's back in Linwood.
But they said she was going to stay in the medical ward for the entire time, and all of a sudden she's back at Linwood. That's weird.
So my puzzler is puzzled on this. I can't figure out what's going on.
Maybe it's the judge that's still angry at her. You know, maybe he's following it closely now or whatever.
Making sure she needs to be wherever it is.
I don't know.
I hope they put her in San Quentin. I think that would be the best. I think that's the answer. Apparently, she has lost about 5 pounds already in jail, by the way. Her friends report that she's still crying, but it's a little better. She's adjusting a little bit better than she was.
Lost some weight. She was getting fat.
I know
fat,
she was.
Fat.
I thought this was really interesting. Assistant producer Superhorse says that all girls know this, but this was news to me. When we heard all that talk about the various medicines that Paris was on, and one of the ones that was talked about was for medicine for ADD called Adderall.
Right.
Well, gossip columnist Janet Charlton says that she's not taking Adderall because she has ADD. She's taking it because it helps you lose weight. It's a side effect is that it's a diet pill.
That's
something to do with whatever stimulation it does to, you know, improve your metabolism that's supposed to make you sharper and clearer to help the ADD also helps you lose weight.
Thank God, because she's just been piling on the pounds. Have you noticed? Woo!
This reporter says that for every $10,000 handbag you see on the arm of a skinny celebrity, you'll find Adderall and cigarettes. That's the secret to staying thin. So that apparently is the hot new Hollywood diet, I guess, is this medicine. And one more Paris Hilton note, and I don't know how this is going to go, but comic book legend Stan Lee, creator of the X-Men and Spider-Man and so many other great characters, is now apparently going to do a new cartoon on Paris Hilton, just like he did for Pam Anderson a few years ago with the Stripperella. Apparently he's developing a cartoon about Paris Hilton where she will be drawn in animated form.
Horrorella? Is that what it is?
Well, why not?
I was watching Jimmy Kimmel Show last night, and I was not aware that Paris Hilton from jail setting up charity events. I guess her people are setting up charity events.
Probably, yeah.
And Jimmy, I think, exposed to the world to the new commercial that Paris Hilton has for her latest venture.
I will have sex.
I will have sex.
I'll have sex for MS.
Join Paris Hilton's first annual slut-a-thon to fight arterial scarfosis on August 8th. The money we raise will help address the challenges of every person whose life is affected by MS.
I will spread my legs like you used to kick my ass, and I will slam your against the wall until there's nothing left for MS. That's hot.
I think that's cool that she's having her first annual slut-a-thon.
Well, she said that God's given her a second chance and the dumb act isn't cute anymore and she's going to turn her life around, so it sounds like she's well on her way.
That's hot.
Let's talk about Paul McCartney for just a second. He's got that crappy-ass song. He did a top-secret gig last night in New York, Manhattan's Lower West Side. Apparently a lot of celebs were there. Whoopi Goldberg, Elijah Wood, little Steven Van Zandt, Steve Buscemi. I can't get past how bad his latest song is. First, it was his Freedom song, which blew.
Right.
And now it's this one. And he got his highest chart debut in more than a decade. His new album, Memory Almost Full, is at number 3. Paul McCartney. Everybody
gonna dance tonight. I wonder if it was the Home Shopping Club that did it.
Probably, yeah. Everybody gonna dance around tonight. He's got a point. Everybody gonna dance around. Don't you get the idea that he's doing this in front of children, right? There's like
it should be a children's song.
It's a children's class that he's entertaining right there.
Absolutely.
That's the guy that wrote Back in the USSR. That's the guy we're talking about right
different
there.
Guy.
Huh?
Different guy altogether.
Here's a way to make some money. You can go to Bodog.com, which is one of those internet wagering sites, and they put some tremendous items up for you to bet on, including, and this is my favorite one in a while, is what celebrity will next be busted for DUI. You know, that seems to be going around. It's very hot right now. And you look at somebody like Lindsay Lohan, you go, well, I think there's a good chance she'll relapse once she gets out of rehab. 11-2 are the odds on Lindsay Lohan.
Sounds all right.
British pop star Lily Allen, who has canceled many dates on her U.S. tour already because of problems with drugs and alcohol. She's leading the field at 4-1, which means if you bet a dollar, you have to bet a dollar to win 4, I guess is what that means, right? If it's 4-1.
Yeah.
Britney Spears and Amy Winehouse are in the running at 6-1. No surprise there. David Hasselhoff, 13-2. Now that seems
you're going
like...
to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Comment?
No.
Yes?
I'll be fine.
I gotta tell you, I find that hilarious every time we play it.
I know.
Those seem like understated odds to me, 13-2. I mean, I'd give him even money at getting popped. I really would. And my favorite of all of them is that you can make a group bet on all of the lost cast members at 7-to-1 odds. So anyone who's on the TV show Lost gets busted. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, Sawyer or Jack or Claire, whoever it is, they get busted, you win money. There is a note, though, that, you know, the three cast members that have already received DUI infractions in the last 2 years, Michelle Rodriguez, Cynthia Watrose, and then the guy who plays Mr. Echo, they're not on the show anymore, so they don't count. So if you're looking for an edge there because they've already been popped, then you can't, they're not included, okay, unfortunately, in the deal. Two quick music notes before we break. One is, I kind of forgot about this guy, Eminem, that guy that looks like Kevin who raps.
I love him.
Apparently, he is working on a new album, and apparently one of the tracks that is already being talked about is one where he makes fun of Mariah Carey. I guess they dated for a short time, and then they had a little bit of a public feud back in 2001. He's got a song where he mimics Mariah's voicemail messages, asking why he's not calling her anymore. I don't know. Has the time passed for that kind of nonsense, or are you up for it?
Not for me. I'm in.
Yeah?
I love him.
And the other note that I had is good news if you are like us, a Radiohead fan. You know, they're pretty tight-lipped. You don't hear much from them when they're not out. Even when they're out promoting an album, you don't hear much from them. But everybody's excited that their website today has this word from the studio. Yeah, I know it's been a while, but we've been working on this album for a long time. We are nearly there. That's posted by Ed, the guitarist from Radiohead. So maybe sometime later this year we'll get some new Radiohead music. That's one of those bands that you always can't wait to see what they're going to do next because they always mix it up.
One correction from yesterday's Showbiz Beat. The Sun tabloid in England has Shar Jackson, the ex-wife of Kevin Federline. Remember, we told you yesterday the rumor was she was pregnant again with his fifth kid.
Yeah, 7 weeks.
She's saying no to them. She's saying, I didn't know I was pregnant until this morning when I watched it on the news. I want to thank the news for telling me what's going on in my uterus. It's not true, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, she wants to have another K-Fed baby?
I don't know what that means. That's what she said.
God.
How would she know whether it's true or not? Anyone who gets impregnated by Kevin Federline twice is too dumb to understand what's going on in her own uterus.
Jesus.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Tennis star Steffi Graf is 38 years old today. The Trumpster, Donald Trump, 61. Yasmin Bleeth of Baywatch fame and really of fantastic mugshot fame more than anything in recent years is 39 years old today. And the reason we celebrate, of course, is Culture Club's Boy George. He turns 46. No.
What?
I keep telling you. That's George Michael. This is Boy George.
Boy, damn it.
He's the one celebrating the birthday today. He's 46. That's the K-Rock Showbiz Beat.
Let's talk about Corey and Jenny, who created a new website that we think you would need to look at, and it's called popularitydialer.com. Corey, Jenny, welcome.
Hey, thanks.
Hey.
How do you describe to people in a couple of sentences when they find out about popularitydialer.com? What do you say about what it is that you do?
Well, it's a site where you can go and you put in your phone number and the time of the day, and so you kind of have to plan ahead when you think you're going to be in a situation where either you want to get out of a bad date or you want to look more popular.
Right.
And then the service is going to call you and it's going to play like half of a conversation that you can plausibly, you know, play along with and talk back to. And so people around you are going to think you're more popular, or you can use it as a way to get out of it.
Did I just hear a cow sound effect?
What's that about? So this is like what people have been doing for decades, which is you say to your roommate, you're a girl going out on a date, you say to your roommate, all right, I'm meeting him at 8, call at 8:30, and that'll give me an excuse to get out of it if I need to. But you've just figured out a way for somebody to do it kind of on their own in an automated fashion.
Yeah. Updated it for the, you know, current cell phone age.
Now,
so you're not relying on your friend who might forget
right.
to call you.
We have a couple of these that we'd like to play for people. So basically, you're on a date and your cell phone rings and you pick it up. Okay, what's that?
what is that?
What's the sound effect you guys got going down there with a cow?
Well, oh, really? I mean, I think my phone was like, I got a text message on the phone. It was buzzing. I didn't know
that
was coming through.
Excellent. No, it's coming through loud and clear.
Loud and clear. Okay, nice job, Corey.
So here's the popularity caller. Your phone rings, you're on a date, and you hear this.
That's hot.
That's not what you hear at all. You hear this.
Hey, what's up?
And then you say,
You got time to talk?
Yeah, I got a second.
Good. Where you at right now?
Out on a
How
date.
How about a bad date?
Good?
No. Hate
well,
it.
What do you got going on this weekend?
A lot of stuff with a lot of people.
That doesn't sound like any fun. How about, come on, why don't you join us, please?
Now, why do you feel the need to follow through with a voice on the other end? Are you just afraid people will hear or they're going to answer it with their cell phone on a speakerphone or what?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. Cell phones are pretty loud these days, so you can typically hear what's going on the other end.
Right.
So this makes it more realistic, and it also sort of guides you so that you answer back to it.
Yeah.
Most people aren't good at making up that conversation on their
own. Well, that's true.
That is true.
Yeah. Hey, was this one of those deals, guys? I thought maybe I heard something about this, that this was a school project or something. That's how the thing was developed?
Yeah, originally I started it as it was like an assignment for, Corey and I went to grad school together, and it was a grad school project, and it's turned into much more.
I got to tell you, one of the calls that you can get is the affirmation call, and I don't know a single person who has ever received this call, but they will call in the middle of whatever you're doing. You can put it on speaker and you can hear this.
You are probably one of the greatest people alive on earth today.
Thank you. That's
when
nice.
When you walk down the street, everyone is just smiling and right. happy because you walk down the street.
Okay. No one is going to buy that.
Well, we actually have a really good story that goes with that call, which is that there was a woman who was going for a job interview.
Mm-hmm.
And so she planned that call in advance to get her psyched up.
Right.
And
to get her psyched up. Oh, I see. And she
makes sense.
And then she got the job.
She got the job. Right.
There you go.
Hey guys, this one, there's no example of this on the website. And if you're just joining us, Jenny and Corey are on the line from popularitydialer.com, which is a tremendous new service. But it's called the Male English Lover Call. We weren't able to hear that one. But what's that one all about?
Well, it's a friend of ours from grad school, and he's from England. And, how does it go, Jenny?
It's Prince Charles asking for a date.
You know, if you're a woman at the office and maybe you want your other office mates to think that, you know, you're a popular lady, you would plan that call. And, you know, he's calling from London and saying he misses you and London's not the same without you.
Oh, I got you.
I got to tell you, this smacks of really, really desperation. You know what I mean? Like if you're going to a website so you can get somebody to call you and tell you how popular you are, you got a lot more problems than just not being popular.
Yeah, you ought to be on the Flavor of Love is where you ought to be if this is your life.
And then there's the call back to work.
Hey, this is Mr. Johnson calling from the office.
Hi, Mr. Johnson.
Did you complete that thing about a month ago, that photocopier training?
I'm not sure.
Well, so when was the last time you used the photocopier?
What? How about a date? What are you talking
yesterday?
About?
There's a big puddle of black ink
coming
out of the photocopier. So I think I'm going to need you to get in here and fix that right away. How soon can you be here?
Okay. Now, here's our only complaint with that. If you're going to be interrupted for something, can't you have a better job than a copy
can't
machine?
Can't you be a lawyer or something? Yeah,
why can't you be cool?
That one was inspired by office space.
That's fine, but give us a cool job. Yeah, I'm going to need you to work Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, that'd be great. Yeah, you want James Bond needs your help, you know, picking up a new gadget. I mean, you need something. You know, but hang on one sec, Corey and Jenny. I think we actually have another call. What's going on here? Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, it's me.
Hey.
Did you handle the thing?
What thing?
You know, that thing with the deal.
Hey, the interview is going fine. We didn't need to be rescued with your call.
I'm going to need you to take care of that.
we don't need the call. The interview is going fine.
We didn't need the call. Yeah, we just thought we might.
Now. You know what I'm saying? Not it's the opposite of later.
Hey, Mike. Mike.
Not in a long time from now. Very soon.
Okay.
I don't know how we got on the topic the other day of talking about this. Maybe it was one of the endless conversations that people have about ways to make extra money on the side. And it just seems like we live in the golden age. If you've got a little bit of motivation, that you can actually make a ton of money in the private, in the comfort and the privacy of your own home by just setting up some sort of internet porn site. I mean, whether you're on it or not, it just seems like there's almost unlimited money out there available for people to watch porn on the internet.
It's the golden age of homegrown porn.
It certainly is. It certainly is. In fact, amateur porn has never been more popular than it is before. I saw a statistic the other day that said something about mainstream. The big porn companies are down something like 20% in the last last 5 years. And you know anything about porn, you know that the profits never go down in porn. But apparently amateur porn, people just, you know, with a webcam at home or taking their own pictures of their own girlfriend or whatever, that's apparently eaten into the deal there, you know, from the pro companies. And it turns out, Lisa, you've got a friend who kind of had the same thought and actually made something of it, right?
Do you mind do you mind if I just...
The following is rated MALV. It contains strong language and violence. It is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
I think we're covered now.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Right. Viewer discretion is advised.
All right. We're fine. We're fine, Kevin.
My friend is actually my self-defense partner, and we got paired up about 4 months ago.
The reenactments and commentary in this program may contain frank talk of a sexual nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
All right. Sorry.
Is he videotaping you in your class? Is that
somehow ending up
on a website? We don't know about it?
The following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised.
All right. Let her talk, Kevin.
I'm trying.
Anyway, I'd actually kind of known him for a couple of years, but I never really
This program contains graphic images which may be disturbing to sensitive viewers. The people profiled all survive. Discretion is advised.
Okay.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Never really talked to him.
The following program contains dialogue of a sexual nature. If you have kids or you are offended when other people use the words tits, f***er, blow or ass whore, proceed with caution.
Okay, so anyway, sorry. Then I found out what he does for a living.
I don't even know what you're talking about now.
Of course, you have a video.
You are listening to a radio show that is intended for adults and may feature conversations between adults about things adults do in the privacy of their own homes and sometimes in their cars. And if they're lucky, in a stairwell or an elevator.
All right.
I mean, come on. Can a brother get him in an elevator? Parental discretion is advised.
All right. I've lost the whole thread of this conversation. Lisa, is it a self-defense class? That's what we're talking about?
Yeah, this is my friend Glenn, who I know from my class, and he does very well with some websites that he's put up that include video with little things that he directs.
Okay, let's find out about that. Glenn, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show on K-Rock. Hi, how are you?
Good morning.
Hi, Glenn.
Lisa May, not to get off topic, like we haven't done that enough. Lisa May is always pretending that she can kick someone's ass because she's got like a blue belt with a yellow stripe or something on it.
Green. Yeah,
whatever. is she any good at this self-defense stuff, or is she just all talk?
Have you seen the movie Kill Bill?
Of course. Sure. Of course, yeah.
She is Uma Thurman. She has a floating heart punch, and she will knock you down and out.
Hey, Glenn, we work with her.
We know the truth.
Look, I have to be nice to her. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I see. So if we make her mad, she's going to pull our heart out?
Well,
yeah, you
got to
kick her a couple times and get her going, and then she turns into a whirling dervish.
Dude, Glenn, we had a candy bar in the office. We told her to cut in two, and she broke her hand on it. It was a candy bar.
It was a 10-pound
All right. Anyway, we're off topic again.
Candy bar, though, right?
So, Glenn, we're off topic. I apologize. So you make money with porn on the internet.
Yes, absolutely. We do something called erotic femdom, erotic female domination, which is sort of different than the traditional S&M of the past where you had stern-looking women inflicting pain upon men.
Right.
Sort of like Lisa. What we do is we take absolutely gorgeous, sexy women and have them using men as sex slaves.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how long have you been running Mean Bitch Productions?
About 5 years now.
Okay, and did you have any kind of background in making movies or show business or anything like that before you started the site?
No, none whatsoever.
Then how'd you get it started? Like, how did you go about finding models and things like that for it?
Well, my first model approached me. I had started up a company to design websites for mainstream actresses, which turned out to be kind of a bad idea because rule number one of any business should be to sell to customers who have money to spend,
right?
Unlike mainstream actresses. But one girl approached me and said, "Will you do an adult site for me?" And I said, "No, I'm a respectable businessman. I'm way above that sort of thing."
Sure.
And she was gorgeous and blonde and busty and said, "I can be very persuasive."
and then you said, "What does that mean?"
Right. And then I found out, and I did. I ended up doing a site for
.com. So now you run an entire company. Is this all you do now?
Yeah.
So you quit your job. Now all you do is run websites and direct porn.
And they have different, they're like fetish websites, right, Glenn? And they have different focuses. And he's got several of them,
like
don't
what?
You?
What do you have, Glenn?
I've got meanbitches.com.
Okay.
meanamazonbitches.com, which features kind of bigger women dominating smaller guys.
Sure.
I've got one called MeanDungeon.com, which is really a little bit more into the old world of S&M, where we have a little dungeon thing going. And then one called DeviantDavid.com, where this old man gets dominated by a bunch of younger women.
Are any of these movies featuring the lovely Lisa May?
Well, we've asked numerous
yeah.
times.
All right.
It's so funny. After Damn class, it. Glenn has to go buy like handcuffs and stuff so he can go to work.
Yeah, I'll be back. I got to go get some handcuffs and some lube and poppers.
Exactly.
Let me ask you a couple of technical questions here. Number one is, how do you get your sites to stand out in the millions of porn sites that are on the internet? How do you get people to find you?
Yeah, you got to do something unique. It's so easy to get into porn these days that if you just set up a site with two people having sex, it's not going to stand out. So we try to pick something that was different. I mean, there's a market for everything. If you wanted to do a website on armpit hair, you know, there'd be an audience out there looking for it.
Well, I hope not.
Glendale.
You're already about to get killed. Why don't you just shut up back there?
Exactly. Although that's a good point, Psycho. And all of your sites are pay sites. What's the average customer pay to be a member of one of your sites?
They pay about $20 a month. And the great thing is about female domination fans is that they're very loyal. I mean, they stick with us. A lot of them have been with us for years, and a lot of them join every single one of our sites and buy every single one of our products.
Glenn, I don't want any details, unless you want to give them, of course, but do you make more money now than you did before?
Before you
went into porn? Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go into specifics, but I'll say I drive a convertible Mercedes, and I live in a big house with a nice pool, and I make all those payments with no problem. It's very good money.
And he sleeps in the morning.
Oh, yeah, you son of a bitch.
Wow. So the biggest thing you got going on really is just generating new content. I would imagine every single week you're filming something to put up on one of those many sites, right?
Right. We film a new scene every week. I mean, that's half the job, and then the other half is, as you say, is making the website stand out and marketing, just finding the people out there who are every day saying themselves, God, I wish I knew where to go for female domination.
Sure.
And there's a lot.
Well, it is fascinating. And as we said when we brought you up, and it was our good fortune that Lisa knew somebody who'd actually done exactly what I was imagining, which is just to have an idea and then have the perseverance and go out there and do it. I mean, people are always complaining. I mean, that's the number one thing people complain about, is not being able to make enough money. It seems like this is something, if you can do it, anyone can do it, right?
As long as you have a good business plan. I mean, a lot of people that I know go into it saying, well, I found an investor to put in $10,000, and now I'm going to make porn. But they haven't really thought out exactly, well, how are you going to make that money back, and right. how long is it going to take, and so on.
Exactly.
As long as you've got a plan, you can make money at porn, though, for sure.
Fantastic. All right, Mean Bitch Productions. And if we were going to direct anyone, what's your favorite of your sites that we can send people to if they want to check out what you're doing, Glenn?
Check out meanbitches.com.
All right,
there you go.
That's easy.
All right, Glenn. Hey, thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Glenn.
All right, we're going to take some more calls, too. If you have figured out a way to make money in this business and quit your regular job, seems like there's never been a better time. You have a webcam and a rack. You're
yeah.
set. Right? So 1-800-520-1067. That's the phone number. We'll talk to you next. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Wait. Here's my favorite part.
It's over.
Okay, thanks. I just like that part. That's because it's over. That's why I like it.
It's the world-famous K-Rock. It's 8:46. We're talking about people who've made their living in porn.
The following conversation may contain dialogue of a sexual nature,
right.
violence, or bestiality.
Okay.
It may also include content unsuitable for any human being,
right.
including talk of a dirty Sanchez, a hot Carl, a Cleveland steamer, or a donkey punch. Parental discretion is advised.
I hope we don't get to a donkey punch.
I do. We were talking a moment ago to a good friend of Lisa's named Glenn, who had the bright idea 5 years ago that he was going to get into the internet porn business, making more money than he did in his quote-unquote straight job. And it just seems like, as I said before, this is the golden age of being able to do that. It's inexpensive to do. And if you got a good business sense and you're a hustler, why not make a ton of money? And I was wondering, you know, the number one thing I always wonder is, where do they find all these beautiful, fresh-faced 19-year-old girls who are willing to get into porn? I mean, it just seems like it's an inexhaustible supply. So why don't we start with Albert, who's calling from North Hollywood, who at least will answer that part of the question for me.
Albert, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's up?
Unfortunately, we don't have as much time as we had hoped, so give us your story kind of give us the brief version.
Okay, brief version. I work for Taylor Wayne Entertainment. My boss, she's British, green eyes, big, big knockers, and I go to college. So, you know, I'm working there as an editor and as a personal assistant, and in college, you know, chicks need money. So since I'm a dude, and I'm not going to walk up, you know, hot chicks like Lisa May and say, hey, you want to get naked for me?
Right.
I have friends of mine that are girls, walk up to them, introduce themselves, and then they come to me, I give them my business card,
And then I got to tell them how I'm all legit and how...
Right, sure. I'm sure they all think you're a scam.
Well, yeah, of course they do. You know, cause like, you know, I'm in college. This dude, you know, wants to see me naked. I'm a hot chick. You know, but I tell him, you know, here's the email for my boss. You're going to be speaking to her most of the time. Plus, you know, I make 20% off whatever chicks I bring in.
How about that?
And I'm not even, you know, on set when they're shooting, you know, because...
Why not? What's wrong with you, Albert? That's the payoff.
I'm not allowed. You know, we try to keep it as professional as possible to get these girls.
Whatever.
I've always been curious about this. When they take a girl out of, you know, physics class at the, you know, at UCLA or something like that, and they go and shoot an amateur scene with her that ends up on one of these websites, how little is she willing to do that for? What is she being paid to be in that porn movie?
Okay, well, like if you're a nobody, like you got a nobody name, whatever, we're gonna give you, you know, a couple hundred bucks, $200, $300, $400, $500. If you got a name and, you know, we know you're gonna generate hits to our website, or we can sell more of your layouts.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to get paid upwards of a grand.
So, but you're telling me that the average, you know, just regular, you know, USC student or something like that, if she's the type who's open-minded to be willing to do porn, will do that and appear on the internet in a porno movie for $200, $300, $400.
Yep. Because they're new.
It's a great country. It's a fantastic country we live in.
God bless America. Thank you.
God bless America. Thank you for the call, Albert. We appreciate it.
All right, let's go to Kelly, who in Corona. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning.
You quit your regular job.
Yes.
And you decided to own, run, and star in adult DVDs.
Yep, and I run my own websites, too.
Okay. Wow. Look at you.
Yeah.
How tough was it to get that up and running?
Actually, I mean, it was just a big learning curve because we started about 6 years ago, almost 7 years ago. But at the time, I was a vice president of a graphics company, and I had this young punk ass working for me as a graphic designer, and he approached me and said, hey, let's do an adult business. I was kind of taken aback, and I'm like, what? Okay. So we, you know, decided we'd start with websites. And we actually had a difficult time finding young girls to star in our website.
Well, I would have had the same thought. There's no question.
Now, wait a minute, everybody. 34 double Fs. It was not that long before that little punk-ass kid said to you, how about you star in it?
Yeah, that was the plan all along.
That was his
along.
First move.
Yeah, exactly. He just wanted to see you with your top off. Yes. Kelly, let me ask you the same question that I asked Glenn a few minutes ago, and that is, how did you get yourself noticed? How did you get your product to stand out among the millions of other adult entertainment sites and products that are out there?
I think basically we took the one thing that kind of set me apart from a lot of the girls, which were the breasts,
right,
and just really marketed the heck out of it.
Okay.
So basically plastered it everywhere we could around the internet, and then did, you know, promotions by starring on going on to various other websites that had a lot of traffic that would put
right.
my name and my URL to send the traffic.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I got you. So you put a clip of one of your movies up on XTube or something like that, and then the next thing you know, people are tuning into your site. All right. Now, once you got up and running, it was a lot easier then to find other girls to kind of get in because it was obvious that it was legitimate and it was working, right?
Absolutely. And we are actually fortunate to work with a lot of really great agencies, you know, in the state that'll send us just, you know, hot young girls left and right. We love it.
Fantastic. Wow. All right. You have a website address we can check out, you know, just for research?
Absolutely. KellyMadison.com.
I'm in.
Well, where you'll see all the numerous girls is a site that I run now. I have since married that punk ass.
I knew you did.
Oh.
I knew it. The second you said punk ass, I thought they married.
Yeah. And we do a website now, which is all threesomes, where I bring home young hot chicks for he and I, and it's called pornfidelity.com.
Okay. Fantastic.
Porn Fidelity. All right.
Kelly Madison should be on the $20 bill of this country as far as I'm concerned. Thank you for the call. All right, do we have time for Blackzilla? Because I'd
Absolutely.
Love to hear that rags to riches story as well.
All right, well, my name is Kevin. I work for K-Rock, and I on the side, I go by the name Blackzilla.
No. I'm talking
the
about
that
no, no.
That
Kevin, I'm talking about Andrew, who owns Hush Hush Productions. He's the guy who does the Blackzilla DVDs. That's
I
what
know,
I'm
me too.
Andrew, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Good morning. Now, Blackzilla, now I haven't seen the movies, but I've heard Mike speak in awe of them. These are the guys that are walking around with a penis the size of a baseball bat, right? That's what we're talking about here?
Basically, yeah. Blackzilla is actually just one guy. That's Shane Diesel.
Shane Diesel. He's the man. Okay.
And by the way, baseball bat does not do him justice.
Yeah, no, that is an insult.
Grew up next to, like, Three Mile Island or something.
It's freakish, and what's the deal? I mean, in terms of the conversation we're having here, which is to have the great idea and then get into porn and make the big money. I mean, has it pretty much worked out that way for you, Andrew?
You know what? Actually, I never planned on getting into it. I kind of fell into it. I was a broke mainstream actor about 4 years ago, And a friend of mine who was an editor, he gave me some editing software for a home PC. So I had to figure out a way to get editing jobs. So I started hitting up porn companies. Couldn't find anybody. After about 3 months, I got an email from an internet company out of Arizona. And the guy asked me, well, you're in L.A. Do you know anybody out there that could shoot four black guys, one white girl, like double penetration? I mean, just the hardest of hardcore.
Right.
And I was so broke, I just went, sure, I can.
And that's how you first met Lisa May?
Why do I end up in these movies?
So when did you meet King Dongo of the Congo? When did you meet him?
Well, once I started shooting for this guy, Shane came to me and through another one of my performers and was just looking for some work. And so I put him to work. And the first time he worked for us and pulled that thing out, I said, here's a check. Keep coming back.
Yeah, yeah. He's not only goes by Shane Diesel, he goes by the most popular man in the world.
Blackzilla. I got to tell you, we all fought over the T-shirt that came in yesterday or whenever it was.
Oh, did you?
The Blackzilla T-shirt. We all were fighting over, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you guys more.
So he's your star, and basically since then, full-time, you've been working on Blackzilla movies? I mean, that's your thing now?
Well, yeah. What happened was that when I was working for that internet company, Shane came to me with the idea for the my daughter's FNIGGA.
Right, sure. Right.
And I thought he was nuts, but I said, let's give it a shot. We put it up. It went ballistic. So we kept opening up more and more sites, and then we got the DVD distribution. And that's when I realized, I was like, we got to come up with a good name. And that's when I came up with Blackzilla.
Blackzilla is the best name ever.
No, it is. No, you're doing the Lord's work out there, man. You really are. Congratulations.
Now, when it says My Hot Wife is Effing Blackzilla 2, directed by Zulu Royale, what the hell? Who's Zulu?
Well, actually, he actually goes by Jonah Lungus now. That was kind of a joke. We didn't know how long this was going to last. All of us were like mainstream people. We were like, this may end tomorrow.
Right.
So we just came up with the dumbest names we could think of.
I love that.
Fantastic.
How many have you sold? Do you know?
Oh, how many DVDs overall have we sold?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I couldn't tell you hundreds of thousands.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow. Unbelievable.
That rules.
Guys, we're wasting our time with this radio thing. I mean, the cash is just out there for the taking.
Yeah,
it really
I've
is.
Seen us. We need Absolutely. To stay where we are.
No, I mean behind the scenes. Oh, okay. Behind the scenes. All right, Andrew, owner of Hush Hush Productions. You can just, I imagine, do a Google search on Blackzilla, and they'll get all they need on that, right?
Yeah, actually, it's Hush Hush Entertainment and Freaky Deaky Entertainment.
Freaky Deaky. Okay, fantastic. Andrew, thank you for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Filling in for Ralph all week long, it's good to be Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, yeah.
It certainly is.
You know, he takes off his shirt more than anyone else. And
oh.
Well, and for good reason.
Really should, yeah.
Well, not more than Blackzilla.
That's
well,
true, yeah.
No.
But TMZ.com, of course, our website of reference, reports that while filming a pool scene for his upcoming flip Surfer Dude, apparently there were a bunch of ladies in bikinis all around, and he said, all right, whoever takes off your tops, I'm going to pay you extra money. And it turned into a, all right, whoever, let's see, you two kiss, I'm going to pay extra money. It just turned into some kind of an impromptu sex scene.
Sweet.
One of the...
What's this movie called again?
Surfer Dude.
I'm in.
Although I don't know if that's making the final cut.
True.
I don't know if that's going to be. One of the extras walked off, but everybody else was pretty happy to stay and get paid a little extra.
Here's Matthew McConaughey on the set of the movie.
That's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
He is living the life, isn't he? Well, Brad Pitt and Angelina were just on the red carpet recently for Ocean's 13, the new Brad Pitt film, and now they're doing the same for the new Angelina Jolie movie. This is called A Mighty Heart, and this is the movie where she is playing the widow of Daniel Pearl, the journalist who was captured and murdered a few years back. A little bit of controversy, though, because Angelina was out in New York City for the premiere and interviews, and apparently she really ran afoul of a bunch of these interviewers because she had a pretty extensive paperwork that she was asking people to sign before she would agree to give them an interview. No personal questions, for instance. She wanted final approval on how it was used. You can't film me and then use it out of context. You can't take anything that I say and use it in a derogatory way. I mean, the list just went on and on and on and on and on.
That's all we do. What are we supposed to do then?
Several of the reporters, by the way, canceled their interviews, said we're not going to, be blackmailed, basically, and made to abide by those rules. I mean, we don't make concessions like that if we're going to interview somebody. We're allowed to decide how we use it. So after those were canceled, then Angelina Jolie pulled the plug on the rest of them and said, well, fine. If that's the way, if you're not going to do it under my terms, then I'm not going to do it at all. So no interviews.
Wow.
So in addition to that, Angelina asked Paramount Pictures publicist to ban the Fox News channel and all Fox News affiliates from even being on the red carpet for the premiere. So that's... Seems like a little contentiousness with her in the press.
We're not the people collecting babies, are we?
No.
No,
yeah,
that's not
exactly.
Us.
I think good point.
Not. She's on Jon Stewart, by the way, if you want to see her tonight. I'm sure he had to fill out a triplicate.
Sure.
But, you know, here's the thing about Angelina, and, you know, she's just the latest in a long line of really, really big stars who get lots of questions about their personal life. There is a way to do it and kind of be nice about it, and that's just to say, I'm not talking about that tonight. I'm here to talk about the movie. I mean, yep. Rather than lay down a bunch of rules for people, you can handle it kind of on the fly a little bit if you're willing to try. But not so much with her. Jennifer Aniston may go in the footsteps of Sheryl Crow. According to reports, she has signed up with the same adoption agency where Sheryl Crow got baby Wyatt. One insider of the agency says the process is 100% underway and that the former Mrs. Brad Pitt says she's happier and more excited than she's ever been in her life. She's hoping for a son, but at the end of the day, we'll take a boy or a girl, either one. That is one report. MSNBC says that the Friends people, the representatives for the former Friends star are saying it's not true. It's a total fabrication. It's not true. So we don't know. But I'd be surprised if she doesn't adopt a baby because it seems like everyone's adopting a baby. I mean,
just
that's
the Hollywood thing to do now.
Yeah, it's like it used to be a Chihuahua was the hot accessory. Sure. Now it's some sort of adopted baby.
Actors and actresses that are just starting in the business, they don't really have any clout. They're calling, you know, CAA. Seriously, when am I getting my baby? You're on a long list. Sorry.
They're starting to add it as a perk in film contracts now. You get this size trailer, you get this many days off, you get this many kids. But I don't want to see Jennifer Aniston screwing up her body. I mean, I think adoption is the way to go. Plus, she apparently can't keep a man. So, Lindsay Lohan in trouble. She, as you know, had 3 car accidents in the last couple of years. Well, this one's going to end up in court. She's being sued for almost $4,000 by a company that claims that she smashed her car into its van on a Beverly Hills street in October of 2005. I guess I just assumed insurance or something. If you get in an accident, pays for something like that. But for whatever reason, it didn't. And she is being sued. And she's already being sued for another car crash that year. So if she ever gets out of rehab, it looks like she's got some dates in court coming up.
Excellent. She's got that to look forward to. You always have to have something dangling out there at the end so that you can make it through those dark times.
That's right. Give her something to look forward to.
Yesterday we did say that K-Fed had gotten his ex, Shar Jackson, pregnant. She's saying no. She's saying didn't happen. I found out about it on the news. It's definitely not happening.
All right.
I hope she's telling the truth, but you never know.
Let's try to talk to Harvey tomorrow because I want to find out, A, how Paris Hilton ended up switching jails again last night, and B, if there's anything to Brittany and Kevin potentially getting back together, because that does sound like trouble to me.
It sounds fantastic. Are you kidding? It's a dream.
I don't know. They don't have to have another reality TV show, though,
yes!
Right? They're done with that.
Although that was the worst show ever.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, how about Donald Trump? Really one of the most annoying people in the history of television, I think. He is... 61 years old. It's unbelievable, by the way, the job he's done. Because you look at him and you go, what a jackass. But in New York, they'll tell you that he can have a building next door to a nearly identical building and somehow charge, you know, $20 a square foot more just because his name's Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, and people do pay it. People do buy into whatever magic, whatever aura he's got. People want to be a part of it. And, you know, long before he was a TV star, he was an enormously successful, you know, billionaire. I mean, you know, Kevin and I have told the story before about how we, you know, interviewed him at an MTV party one time out at Bryant Park. And we stood there and he pointed to buildings on the skyline in New York City that he owned.
He said, that one. But the amazing part was 30 seconds later, he was still going. That one. It was crazy.
It's amazing.
You wake up in the morning and you own the Empire State Building. I mean, it's just hard to kind of get your head around that. But Donald Trump is 61 years old today. That's Boy George, actually. That's Boy George, who also is celebrating a birthday today. Former Culture Club singer is 46 years old today, and that's the K-Rock Show Biz. Time to check out the email bag.
Dear Kevin Abino, I was driving through North Hollywood this morning on my way to work, and I ended up at a stoplight next to a short bus. Guess who had an advertisement on the back of this short bus? That's right, Paul Moyer and the Channel 4 News.
Oh, that's great.
I thought, how appropriate. Now every time I see a short bus, I will think of Paul Moyer. The ad ended up being very effective. Matthew.
Excellent.
Hey, Frank. How come you haven't gotten up yet?
I'm waiting sticky.
I've been thinking of the short bus every time I see Paul Moyer for years, so that's nothing new. Dear Kevin and Bean, I want to thank you guys for the bit you do about the Wheel of Racial Stereotypes. You guys did one a while ago about how the white devil smells like mayonnaise, which, by the way, was very disturbing to all of us in the room.
Yeah, we didn't know white people. We didn't know we smelled like mayonnaise. That hurts.
Had no idea. Unfortunately, finding this out on your show has ruined my fascination with white women. I love white chicks, but now when I look at one, I get the god-awful taste of mayonnaise in my mouth for a few seconds, and then it goes away.
Ugh.
So thanks for nothing and the wonderful service you provide at K-Rock, Jason. Sorry about that. But, you know, we just tell the truth, man. That's all we can do. And if white people smell like mayonnaise, that's what happened. Nothing we can do about it.
Dear Kevin and Bean, all right, I come to work. Oh, wait, I'm going to have to save that one for the last because that's a Tyra Banks.
Okay.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, I wanted to call in this morning for what I do, but I was swamped at work. I went to Vegas this weekend with some friends, and one of the first things we saw when we drove in was a huge billboard that said, Lindsay Lohan turns 21. Huge white and pink writing. That wasn't the only one. They were all over the city with billboards, magazine ads, everywhere.
For her party?
For her party.
Oh, my God.
When she turns 21.
I have bad news for Lindsay Lohan in case she's listening in rehab. Baby, you peaked at age 11 in the Parent Trap, okay? Your career and your life have been doing nothing but going downhill since 11, all right? So don't be too excited and thrilled about you turning 21. We really don't care.
And then Malia writes, P.S. Was it me or was Steve-O incredibly stoned the other morning?
Oh, that's an understatement.
Oh, it wasn't
actually.
Just you.
Yeah. Did he doze off during the interview a couple times?
Kind of did.
I think he dozed off a couple times while he was speaking. Like, none of us were speaking. He was saying something, lost the train of thought, actually fell asleep on himself.
Let's not forget, he asked the intern, I think it was Hammerhead that day, he goes, "You mind if I go out and smoke, dude?" And he obviously meant a cigarette, and he says, "Oh yeah, no problem." Walked right outside, a foot outside K-Rock's door, and took out a huge bong and fired up a rip-a-dank.
Hey, ask producer Lightning to step in here because I need to find out what's going on with Doto.
Hey, Light, come in.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I am having issues with someone. This email from Doto begins.
Uh-oh.
Do you remember the guy who drove me up to K-Rock events a few years ago? Him and I are having an issues, which may lead to ending the friendship soon. Him and I have been friends since 91 in high school, and we have a good circle of friends. I hope to talk about this on air. It's kind of getting on my nerves, and I would like to be solved this issue ASAP. I don't know what language Doto translates his emails into before he sends them to us, by the way. He's one of my closest friends. It's devastating how the situation is going. I'm not too happy about it. I'm 100% honest, Doe. Lightning, do you know anything about the breakup with him and his driver, first of all?
No, I don't. I don't. You've actually been having more contact than I. He's avoiding me for some reason.
Where the hell is the Doe? Is he still in Asia?
I don't know. And his friend, remember his good friend Caesar? Can't find him either. You know, I guess he's just...
he's an international traveler. He's one day he's in Hawaii, the next day he's in Thailand.
He's the international man of mystery.
He is.
He certainly is. But you are still working on trying to get him on the show.
Yeah,
many questions.
Yeah.
You don't think he killed Caesar and buried him in a shallow grave in the desert, do you?
No, because Caesar will email me every once in a while going, "Dude, where's our man?"
Wow.
Yeah. That's so weird.
Okay.
Wow, thank you. Bad news.
Okay.
And finally, an email on Tyra Banks. All right, I come into work ready to drop a load after a late morning. Oh. Left to be unable to take care of this business at home. And of course, I want to listen to the show, but I really got to go. What do I decide to do? I take a cheap-ass little radio from my bottom drawer that has a dial tuner, ghetto, right, into the stall with me and go about my business. I hear my boss come in and proceed to empty all 25 feet of his bowels next to me.
Oh,
why are you treating this?
After this bit of awkwardness, he then dares to ask me to turn it up because he wants to hear the Tyra negativity. He's now cracking up, and every laugh is ended by a round of water and sound.
No.
They listen to the Tyra story together, laughing at each other. He says, "Thanks to you, I haven't looked at him in the eyes once all day."
Oh, that's gross.
Kevin, goddammit.
Why do you have to read that? Come on.
I'm just saying.
And I've got one Tyra email, too, that'll maybe hopefully take the taste of that one out of your mouth. Back in September, I helped a friend out that was casting for the Tyra Banks TV talk show. They kept trying to fit me into any topic. And by the way, this is what a lot of these shows do, is they'll just basically get somebody and they say, "Hey, we're going to put you on the show. Now we're going to decide whether you're going to be the lesbian who's in love with her sister, if you're going to be the guy that killed your mom, you know, whatever we need, we're going to have you be the thing." They all claim that these people are real on the shows, but let's face it, they need too many guests to actually be all real. Finally, they put me on as girls that have trouble getting a second date, which I thought was a joke, but hey, they were going to pay me $150 for it, so I said, whatever, I played their little game. So we did up a fake date. I went on the show 2 days later. I basically went on stage and lied about everything, just like they told me. They dressed me. They did to my hair what they felt was appropriate. I went on stage. They made me look like a whore. They had three guys attacking me, telling me what a whore I was. The best part was, after all that, they never even paid me. They were right, "Oh, you didn't get paid? You should have." Then they just stopped answering my calls and my emails. That show is more fake than any reality show.
Wow.
That's Tani writing in about her experience on the Tyra Banks show. And I think if there's anything we've learned from all of the Tyra news lately, it's this.
Time for your phone calls. The number's 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize.
Got a great prize for you this week, too. It's your choice. They have a Nerve Classic Men's Cruiser Bike or a Nerve Ladies Cruiser Bike. You can go to Nerve.com to check them all out. It's NIRVE.com. Psycho Mike, you know why you'll love this. You know why you have to get one.
Why?
Because they have the double spring comfort saddle, which is something you're always complaining about.
Oh, yes. I'm very sore in that region often.
Sounds like something you could use, but they are beautiful machines, and that's what you get for being on the air. 1-800-520-1067. We'll start with Alex, who is calling us from the ill-named Hawaiian Gardens. Hey, Alex, how are you?
Hey, good.
There's no place that's less the Hawaiian Gardens than freaking Hawaiian Gardens, California.
Yeah, it's not Hawaiian, it's not garden.
Not at all.
You're calling about what?
Last year I graduated, and my senior economics teacher,
mm-hmm.
I just found out, like, last week she was a porn star.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean, was? While
well, she is.
She is now.
So she quit teaching school?
Yeah, she was teaching my economics class.
Who has a hot enough economics teacher in high school that she can turn into porn?
No kidding.
I guess I did.
Well, okay.
I guess the answer to that question is Alex.
I guess maybe this is the only time I shouldn't be asking that.
Although she can probably make more money in a month, you know, depending on what she looks like doing porn than she could as a teacher, which is really sad when you think about it.
It is.
Because is there any more important job in the world than being a teacher?
Yes, being a porn star.
Being a porn star, that's true.
All right, let's go to Anthony in Los Angeles. Hi, Anthony.
Morning, Kevin and Ben. What it do, baby boo?
Hey, Anthony.
What it do, nephew?
Yeah, so last week, Sopranos finale, everybody's expecting a nice glory finale. We're all having a party, dinner, kicking back, drinking. And unfortunate event, my dog and my cat started fighting about 2 minutes before the ending of it. Right when the guy gets up and goes to the bathroom, my dog and cat run across a surge bar and unplug my TV.
No.
Is he making a joke? Is he trying to make a funny?
Are you making a funny, Anthony?
That's not what happened, Anthony. It went black on its own.
No, seriously. I plugged in the TV. Everybody's yelling at my dog, yelling at me, telling me to plug in the TV. Hurry, hurry. By the time I get the TV back up and running, the credits are rolling.
Oh, so you missed when Tony got shot then. You missed when the guy came back out and just obliterated everybody at the table.
No, I know you're lying.
Well, it's so funny that he had the actual experience that we all thought we had.
He did.
Like, he really
he's
did.
Full of crap.
I think he's trying to make a funny, I think, because the dog didn't unplug the TV. It just went black. I mean, that's what happened on the show.
Do you make a funny?
I'm puzzled.
Well, not
I'm also
Anthony.
Puzzled about who put that call in a hole. I'm puzzled about that, too.
King of Mexico.
Browse. Oh, Browse. Yeah, that's possible, too.
Browse. Oh, was it Browse? Okay.
Let's go to Anton in Newberry Park. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Good morning, Anton. We're very good.
Hello, Anton.
Good morning, Lisa May. In keeping with today's theme,
mm-hmm.
and to get a little bit of information, adding a delicious icing on today's cake, I wanted to know how the G-spot feature has been going for Lisa May.
The G-spot. We haven't gotten an update in a while. You had a shot for it, right?
It's funny about the G-spot, because at first I was underwhelmed.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it definitely added a little something-something, but I was expecting, you know, to pass out from passion.
Right.
But it seems like it kind of got better.
Is that
for
right?
For some reason. About, I don't know, 2-3 weeks in, I was definitely...
And I'll be honest, I thought I was going to feel it, but I didn't. So,
Lisa, did you also get a honeymoon stitch added in while you were there?
Oh. I don't need that, Anton.
Yeah, you hold on. Thank you.
By the way, honeymoon stitch played in Inland Invasion, too. They're very good. Definitely want to see them. So how long is that supposed to last, that G-shot
well,
that you got?
Sadly, I think it's wearing off now.
Oh,
it's supposed
really?
To last 3 or 4 months.
You better go back.
Now, are you addicted? Will you go back?
I don't know. I mean, it's pretty pricey, I have to be honest.
Yeah.
When's it going to go back to normal size?
She's saying it
I said
is.
3 or 4 months.
Oh, it actually shrinks back? I didn't know if it ever did.
It's like collagen. It just wears
it just
off
stays huge
over time.
It looks
the
like
rest
she's
of
wearing
life.
Diapers right now. Trip me in the hallway.
Tim in Temple City. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. What it do, Kevin? I'm Dean.
Well, what it do, nephew?
Hi, Tim.
What it do?
Did we just time warp backwards 20 years? What the hell? Somebody is putting Fritz Schneider back in the recording studio and they're finishing up another album, the B-52s.
It's going to be amazing. We need another album!
Nice.
Well, I mean, that's what musicians do. I mean, that's their thing, I guess. There's no real reason for them to stop if that's what they enjoy doing. It's just a question of whether the marketplace cares. I mean, they can put it out there. Will anybody buy it? I don't know.
Remember that time we were talking about how much I hate them, and somebody was at the back door at work, and I went back there, and it was Fred Schneider.
I do. He was standing at the back door.
He was standing. Right. He, of course, wasn't listening. Didn't know what I was talking about. But it was such a, like, I was like, am I being punked right now?
I would listen to, if a new B-52 song came in, I would listen to it. I mean, they have, they are a talented group. They have had a number of really good songs
in
the past.
We've had a lot of good songs.
I'd give it the benefit of the doubt. I'd want to hear what it said. All you know what I mean?
It's going to be a potty.
All right, Richard. You may be the only one.
Mike in Mission Viejo. Good morning.
What'd it do, baby boo?
What'd it do, Mike?
What'd it do?
Okay, Amy Winehouse.
Yes.
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 She, to me, was smoking hot. Saw her Coachella. Sounded great. Then I saw her on an MTV show.
Mm-hmm.
She was cracked out of her mind.
Really?
I don't know if you saw it. She could barely stand up. She didn't care what was going on. And we're mumbling words.
Yeah.
Now, she's the one who's like 4'11" or something and has 3 feet of hair, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's her.
And she weighs about 75 pounds.
Yes. You can just throw her around.
Yeah. That's the problem. She doesn't need to do very much for her to be really out of her gourd.
Yeah.
I didn't see that, but
she parties pretty hard, right?
I have heard it, yeah.
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 It was bad. It was bad. I felt bad for her.
It will be hilarious when she goes to rehab, because that's her big song.
Funny, that,
yeah, she's known for her famous song, Rehab. Dave hates her, of course, because of all the tattoos. But yeah, it does seem like she's heading down a tough path right now.
Dave
she's
is
living
the
rock and roll lifestyle.
Dave is the only person I know that's really turned off by tattoos on a girl. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, seriously.
Anyone
off.
Else that's
the deal
like
breaker.
That.
I'm not particularly turned on by tattoos, but there are a
that's
lot
different.
Of women who look really good at them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are great tattoos, and then there are tattoos that are pretty ugly.
John in Rancho Cucamonga. Good morning.
Morning. What'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do?
What'd it do, Lisa?
Hi, John.
Hey, I was told that if you put a black light on your carpet, that it shows all the stains. And
yeah,
all that.
Don't ever do that.
I already did it.
You
I
didn't
did
do that, did you? Don't ever do that. You don't want to do that.
There is so much shit in my
okay,
body.
Okay, why do you think you can say that on the air?
We can't say the S word, dude. Sorry, it's a new FCC rule.
Yeah, it just came down yesterday.
So you put the black light on the apartment, and you've got stains everywhere.
Everywhere. There's stuff on the carpet in the bedroom, in the living room. There's stuff on the walls. I
yeah.
don't know what it is.
That's why Kevin said, don't ever do it.
Don't ever do that.
Oh,
what
I'm
do you think
again.
It is?
Dude, why don't you get a freaking tissue like everyone else?
Oh, man. What's going on here?
What? Who wasn't thinking that? Come on,
I'm
dude. Don't be
saying.
So sloppy.
Dear God.
Seriously.
It's
By
wrong.
The way, if you want to really like never sit down on a bed or a couch again in your life, go see Ocean's 13 and see what the black light, how the black light ends up in that movie.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that is a good one.
Remember that?
Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, that's a very ugly way to end the show right there with John and his stains. I don't know how that ended up happening, but I want to thank all of our many guests on today's show, including author Jane Velez Mitchell. Her book is called Secrets Can Be Murder, What America's Most Sensational Crimes Tell Us About Ourselves. It's in stores now, and you can meet her at a book signing tonight at 7 o'clock at Book Soup in West Hollywood. Also, thanks to Ricky Carmichael for joining us, too, the greatest motocross driver of all time. He is going to be appearing at X Games 13. Remarkably, he told us, for the first time ever, he's going to be at the X Games this year. And that, of course, is Thursday through Sunday, August 2nd through the 5th at the Home Depot Center and Staples Center. And tickets are going on sale in about 11 minutes from right now through Ticketmaster outlets and the box office of Staples and Home Depot Center. Please go to expn.com for details. And thanks to Jenny and Corey from popularitydialer.com. That's the website where you can get somebody to fake a call to you. Also, special thanks because we're getting a ton of emails from people who did not catch the name, but porn star Kelly Madison for joining us, too. KellyMadison.com is her site if you want to check out her enormous 34
double F, I think.
Yeah.
34
yeah.
double F. You want to check that out. It's KellyMadison.com.
Tomorrow morning, people who got caught having sex while driving. Also,
that just happened. Just had a couple here in Seattle that was arrested yesterday and charged with embracing while driving, going down the highway. Both of them, the guy's 19, the girl's 20, both completely naked.
How is embracing a word that is involved
well,
in a ticket?
I think they use that because they don't want to specifically list every possible thing that you could be doing.
Yeah, I guess.
So I think that maybe covers a kiss. It covers something with a hand. It covers something with a leg. You know, so it's just all encompassing.
Embracing. Okay.
Right.
Also tomorrow morning at 7:15, the K-Rock Road Trip USA stop number 2 grand prize, Project Revolution in Virginia Beach. We'll do that drawing. We got Movie Beat tomorrow because it's Friday. We've got little bitty Seth Green on the show tomorrow. We have the lead singer Pennywise has written a new book called Punk Rock Dad. Jim will be on the show tomorrow.
And what's going on in the world when a punk rock star is writing a book? Does anything seem less punk rock than writing a book about your kids?
Just me reading it. That's all.
Yeah.
The idea that I would read a book. And I'm not playing this to burn you because I always hate it when Bean does this and you feel like, oh, it's Friday, but it's not. This is... This is the song that we play every Friday.
Right.
Apparently this guy, Robert Bradley. Mm-hmm. is going to be in our studio tomorrow singing this song. Here's the version without us singing.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend.
Sounds sufficiently high, right?
Pass it over to me.
That's where we got the song from.
He does good work, and he's going to be on our show live performing it at this time tomorrow. That is going to be a very special end to the week right there. Kat Corbett is coming up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock, including Nirvana, also the new one from Modest Mouse called Miss the Boat. We got System of a Down, Chili Peppers, Hard to Believe, Beastie Boys, AFI, and so much more right after this on K-Rock.